Good evening, everybody, on this special Monday night. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being called a psycho.
Yes.
Yes, that the man has been called many times.
Oh, my God, more than I can think.
Well, you can't think. That's why you're a psycho.
More than I can. Well,
you're a psychopath.
Oh, yes. I've been. Ooh, God.
The number to call in later on, but not right now. The number to call in is...
You'll ruin Zombo.
Exactly. Haven't had a Zombo in a while. 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. If you want to join the chat room, the Den Pen, simply go to davinsden.com, click chat, and listen live. If you're listening to one of our great radio station affiliates, you just minimize their browser, go to davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page, and click chat and go. And our chat page is actually on the Indie Authority homepage. If you're listening on Indie Authority, just go into, I believe it is the blue chat room. I believe it's like
the blue.
The hell was that?
I don't know.
That's from Bugs Bunny. You know, put on your old gray bonnet with the blue ribbons on it. Put on your old gray bonnet with the blue.
Yeah, can I get through the intro before you fuck up my show?
No, possible. No, possible.
All right, let me correct that. Let me get through the intro before you fuck up my show.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We have the right guy coming on, and we'll get to that to help you.
Why are they looking at him?
What? Well, I'm not paying him enough for that. But yeah, so we are on the Indie Authority homepage. Yes, I am joined by Chuckleheads. I'm Davin Rosenblatt. The man ruining the show already is Joe Curry.
Hi, Joe Curry here, getting right to work.
The woman who decided to finally show up to the Den, Pip Helix.
Hi.
Haven't seen her in a while. We thought maybe she was a scammer and was not really who she claimed to be.
Yes, I was pretending.
But it's nice to see each other.
Yes, it is.
We didn't see each other. We did the show last week, but we didn't see each other.
Even the woman at the Dunkin' Donuts where I stop on the way up here went, oh, we haven't seen you in a while. Oh, my God. Am I a creature of habit or what?
Yeah, really?
Why are people calling me now? But they don't know I'm on now.
No, they don't know.
They don't know. They don't know the things you do.
They have an idea.
They have an idea.
All right,
things
so
you
here's what we got going on for tonight's show. In a little bit, a few minutes.
A little bit.
We're going to be joined by Oxford professor Gordon Claridge, who conducted the study that comics have psychopathic tendencies.
Yeah, boy.
There's a couple of people in the chat right now that seem to have them, too, like the Duct Tape Diva. She's going nuts already.
It's a she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Hello, Duct Tape Diva. This study was just published in the British Journal of Psychiatry.
Mm.
So maybe we can get them to do a study of Joe.
Now that sounds really prestigious. And
all right, did you not hear the intro? We're interviewing an Oxford professor.
I know. That's what I'm. Yes. I'm just and getting over the fact. Like, what? What's he doing with us?
And there's also a young lady. There's also a woman in Plainview, Long Island, that's been doing a study of Joe for the past year. Results are inconclusive.
There's another woman in Long Island who's been studying for about 20.
Yeah.
Results also inconclusive.
No, the results are going to be half the stuff. Long-term exposure to Joe will lead to you getting half of a bunch of crap in magazines.
That's true.
Somebody's getting some used Maxim magazines.
Oh,
lucky lady.
And you thought I made all that up. You thought till the end of the show.
We're talking about Joe's wife interrupting the show.
That
yes.
was unbelievable.
Not it's really. It's every time I call Joe.
Yeah. You
see, I've never had that happen on
because you don't call Joe.
Because I only call him when he's in the car.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So,
but
I
it's
didn't
like,
know.
It's true.
We were
it's
joking
true.
About, wouldn't it be funny if she bust in, like, kids going, Ma, I'm on the phone. And wouldn't it be funny? And she really was ripping into you for being using the computer for too long.
Oh, yeah. Why are you on so long? Because I'm doing a show. I told you before I started it.
Don't you live here? Don't you know what's going on? Apparently
they,
not.
They don't communicate with each other.
I told her.
Don't
I go
yell at me. I'm not your wife. I don't give a crap.
Why am I yelling?
I'll tell you to leave, and you won't have a place to come back to. And I don't even want half your stuff.
Yeah.
You just leaving is a win for me.
But it's like I told her, I'm doing a show. I'm going to be on the computer for 3 hours. Don't come in. Don't do nothing. And then she bought, I need the computer. Yeah, really?
I couldn't believe she bust in on you while you're doing a
she
show.
She does. Pip,
can
she
I get through the intro of what the hell we're doing before we analyze you and your wife? Christ,
okay.
we got to call the doctor in like a few minutes, and you're going off on a mid-show rant.
I didn't know when we were calling. I didn't.
I put it. We're calling at 7:15. It's after midnight, the man's time.
Okay.
We were
don't you read the show prep?
No.
I do. All right. I don't have time for your excuses.
We were proving his theory. Comedians are psychos.
Anybody who's listened to this show knows that two out of the three comics here are psychos. I'm the normal one.
I know. How sad is
that? Nice hat, Volkov. You look like a Russian. That should be made out of fur. It's like sitting on your head like there's like a midget hiding in there. Volkov. Get the police out of there.
I look like an asshole, but I'm warm.
No, you're wearing a black toque.
A toque.
It's not a toque.
It's a toque. That's what they call them up in Canada.
They don't wear the toques on that. They wear it on their heads. It looks like a bubble dome. All right, yeah. I don't have time for this.
Yeah,
I don't have time to discipline
asshole.
You.
Asshole.
Shut up.
Asshole.
You will get the attention that you deserve in short order.
Please. I'm looking forward to it,
to
tell you the truth.
Of course, you like a good beating. It costs money. All right. So, yes, we're going to be calling the doctor in just a few short minutes. Also, I'm going to be sharing my encounter with what I am told is one of Ghana's most notorious and successful scammers.
Unbelievable.
Had some nice chit-chat with him. Why are you looking at me like that, Joe?
Was it like, you're scamming each other? You went as
no,
guys?
This is straight up. We know who each other was.
Wait, you just sat down and had a cup of coffee? And
sure, Joe. I flew to Ghana. We met me, Agnes, her, got together. It was a good time. I'll explain what set it up.
Okay.
A little bit later on.
All right.
They rolled him in the gutter for some bitcoins.
Yeah, really.
We'll probably do it over the course of two shows.
Yeah.
And then what I hope to do, unless something else comes up.
What, is that much, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I hope, because I also have the interview with the Ghanaian man who lives amongst the scammers. That's going to be over three shows. Got a lot of cool stuff coming up. But yeah, I figured I would let you guys know what set it up, because this was going on in the past few weeks, what set up my encounter and how that went.
Oh.
Because I think it's a little interesting. I don't think it's every day you get anti-scammer versus notorious scammer just chatting, saying the way it is.
Just talking shop. You know, let's stop for a minute. We'll let bygones be bygones, have a talk.
Wasn't like that at all.
Really?
It was kind of creepy at points.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of cool. It was weird. It was
weird. Fascinating. Oh, I'm going to be interested in listening to
this. Well, it's good that you're interested in what we have on the show.
That always helps.
It always helps.
How'd I wind up in a barrel?
Not
so
in the 13th.
Well, for instance, asking stupid questions, how did I wind up in the barrel so quickly? You should know. Just because Pip vacationed there last week doesn't mean you can't be there this week.
Boy, oh boy.
I cleaned it out for you.
Didn't seem I came in with an attitude.
Nobody said you had it. You don't need to have an attitude to be in the barrel, Joe.
Oh, okie dokie.
Your presence in the barrel has nothing to do with your attitude.
Oh,
if you had a bad attitude, I'd be playing the punishment song. And because it was you, it'd be an extended play.
Oh, I gotta just say something really quick.
When we
threatened that song, the chat last week was freaking out. Did you notice that, Pip?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you guys.
They're like, no.
No.
We wield power. All right. So let's because I gotta call this man. It's already after midnight. So let's just go over what the study was. Let's give an overview of what the study was, what it found. And then we'll call the professor, and we'll hope the calling card works properly.
Okay.
And we have some great questions that we all came up with for him, and then we can discuss a little bit afterwards.
Yeah.
All right. And then we'll see what that leaves us as far as.
Oh, I got a lot to discuss.
Yeah, Joe, we're not doing a psychoanalysis of you this week. We don't have that type of time. Listen to the January 2013 show where Joe talked about coming on a woman's leg and then leaving, and you know everything you know to know about Joe Curry. There's nothing more to know.
Oh, no, little bits slip out here and there.
Yeah, really, but that's the important thing, that he thought that was okay. That he thought that was acceptable behavior is all you need to know about this maniac. But anyway, let's talk about this study that was just recently published in the British Journal of Psychiatry. They studied over 500 male and female comedians from Britain and Australia. It was found comedians score higher than people with non-creative jobs in the following characteristics: a tendency towards impulsive or antisocial behavior. And again, we'll talk about it in a little bit.
Right.
You know, what we think about it. A tendency to avoid intimacy.
Ding, ding.
Joe, I told you, we'll get that. Now stop trying to cuddle with me. The study goes on to say that creative elements are needed to produce humor, that are needed to produce humor, are strikingly similar to those characteristics characterizing the cognitive style of people with psychosis, both schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Joe, hold your bell. Pip, stop hoarding more shit. The traits were scored with the following: unusual experiences, such as a belief in telepathy or paranormal events. Hey, Casper. Cognitive disorganization, such as difficulty in focusing thoughts. Oh, I'm ready to choose. Here's Joe trying to form a sentence. Joe's just mesmerized. He's like, I've come home.
just getting comfy lying down on the couch waiting. Well,
yeah. No, I was just dead to rights. There's nothing
really
to say.
Lay on the couch. Let me get some cans. It was a can set. We have plenty. I want it to be comfy. Let it open up. Sure. All right. So they have difficulty on focusing thoughts and introverted anhedonia, which is a reduced ability to feel social and physical pleasure, and impulsive nonconformity. Look at this earring. I'm a Jew, Joe. It's rare for me. Or tendency towards impulsive antisocial behavior. These are the things that they say your pals might have a tendency to be.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I thought it was fascinating. They've gotten a little bit of blowback from comics and everything. Some comics are kind of pissed off about this.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Why would they be?
I don't know, maybe because they were like, oh, no, like no surprise, or I don't know.
Well, Mr. Hillix always says the closer somebody gets to the truth or something that you're sensitive about, the louder they yell, you know? And so if, like, the comedians that were yelling, probably the most psycho.
It's possible. I don't know.
I at this moment, I don't have anything to say because I've got plenty
to say.
My
favorite part of the show. All right, shall we call the good professor?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I'm calling England with a calling card, so, you know, this can be dicey. I'm going to do the best I can. The hell was that?
That's being dicey.
Listen, he doesn't need to know what a retard you are, okay? That's not even in the study.
Is impulse control one of the things that they mentioned?
Very good point. Now, Joe, stop jerking off. Right. Now's not the time.
Pip, give me a leg.
Don't worry, Joe. You won't feel the pleasure.
Nobody does.
Devin will dial now.
Isn't it weird that you feel the compulsion to do, like, hold music for people, even when they're sitting next to you?
Oh, yeah.
While you're doing something else?
English, press 1. If you're calling from a phone with a nationwide calling plan, use the 903 access number printed on the back of your card.
Devin went to the bodega.
Please enter your PIN.
The chat is saying that you need some duct tape over your mouth so that you don't go in the barrel and take them with you. They don't want the punishment song really, really bad.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Please
with you guys in the chats last week, so I kind of feel
responsible to hold it together.
Yes. Because I saw the look of fear.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
The number you have entered is not valid.
What?
Please enter the number you wish
to
call.
Fear. All the little emoticons were like,
and then Tommy made him play it.
I know.
They were like, no.
They're hitting him. He's not here right now.
No. Oh, he's probably, I think he's having a problem with the truck again.
Oh, my God. He's been like,
they can't fix his truck.
What is it? Like, Trucker Tom is one of the regulars on our show. Oh, it's ringing.
Sounds like a Pink Floyd album.
Hello?
Hi, Dr. Claridge? Professor Claridge?
Yes.
Are you a doctor or just a professor?
Well, professor, technically, yes.
Well, you got me beat, professor. Welcome to Davin's Den. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. Yes, I'm lying in bed, actually.
You're lying in bed. That sounds very hot. What are you, what are you thinking of, professor?
I was just reading a book.
Okay. Well, we found your study fascinating, and we are thrilled that you could join Davin's Den. I'm Davin, and we got Pip Helix.
Hi.
And Joe Curry, who are my co-hosts.
Hi, how are you?
And we all came up with some questions that, you know, we hope you could explain to us a little bit about the study and what you found. Is that cool?
Yes, that's okay, fine.
All right. First, we want to know, what was the objective of the study? What were you guys trying to find out?
Well, we're trying to confirm that comedians are creative, really. in the same way that other creative people are, and that their creativity is related to certain traits of personality.
Okay.
That is what we call psychotic traits.
Psychotic traits. Yeah. Yeah, psychotic is...
It's a strong word, really, but there is a lot of evidence that so-called madness and creativity are connected, that creative people are on a spectrum, really, of madness, and we thought that comedians would be the same because they're also creative.
Well, before this, did you know any comedians personally?
Any sort of comedians?
Like, well, you said comedians are, you know, kind of crazy, but I was just wondering if there were comedians in your personal life that you knew.
Not personally, no. I don't know any... personally, I mean, there are some famous comedians who have had sort of things like bipolar disorder.
Right.
So that was a sort of, well, part of the base of it was that, yeah, there are some high-profile cases like that. But basically it was simply because of evidence about other kinds of creativity, say, like art and painting and writing and so on, poetry. There is a lot of evidence that these traits are found in highly creative people. This is not to say they're mad. It's simply to say that there are certain personality features or traits which, you know, connect to madness, if you like.
Right, so...
Like thinking outside the box and things like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's hard to be crazy if you're just going by the book.
Yes.
So then these results were actually what you were expecting to see. You weren't surprised by this at all, then?
We weren't at all surprised, actually. No, in fact, in some ways, it's quite a boring result because it's quite obvious to us.
Well, hey, now!
Well, it was obvious to us at the beginning that comedians were highly creative, you know, because of the way they think.
Well, we do think a little weird. All right, so we want to get into the nuts and bolts of this a little bit. The study mentions the, I hope I'm saying this right, the procuneus portion of the brain. What other functions does the procuneus portion of the brain do, and what is the why is that significant to this study?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the thing about the brain.
Me neither. All right, I'll repeat it again. The study, it mentions the procuneus portion of the brain. So we were wondering what are the other functions that the procuneus portion does and why that particular part of the brain was important for your study.
I don't think we said that in the paper, did we, at all?
I don't know. Pip Helix gave me that. But she's a little crazy. I'll ask her right now. Where the hell are you getting your stuff, woman?
Well, I was reading up on the study, and I thought that I was reading on your study that portion of the brain was particularly noted as the portion where this creativity was coming from. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think we said that in the paper. There must be some other source.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm a big old liar.
It clearly has something to do with the brain, but the usual view of it is that... you know, something to do with the hemispheres, really, the two parts of the brain, two sides of the brain, and some people think that the right hemisphere is involved in creativity because it's not very logical or linear, so it tends to kind of think laterally, you know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean, but, you know, Pip Helix is a comedian, so sometimes she has a hard time focusing on the information that we give her and comes up with crappy questions.
Sorry,
I apologize.
About that, Professor.
I am dealing
We didn't say anything about any particular part of the brain in the paper.
Well, if you'd like a brain to study, I'll give you hers. She's no longer using it. We'll move on. Yeah. I'm like, wow, she did a lot extra research, and it's wrong.
Well, it was actually somebody else's study, and I apologize.
You want to do the right study?
Yeah.
Stupid.
So.
This is what I'm working with.
All right, buddy.
All right. Let's get to the stuff that was actually in the article.
Okay.
All right. So you interviewed over 500 comedians. I was kind of curious.
Well, we sent out a web-based questionnaire. It was
right.
Done on the internet.
Right, okay. So, but you contacted over 500 comedians participated, correct?
Yes.
What was the study's definition of a comedian? Because that means a lot of different things to different people as far as how often they do it or whether they're, you know, like somebody who just goes up once every couple of weeks would not really be considered a comedian by a lot of professional comedians. So I'm wondering, were these amateurs who are just starting, or were these established comedians that tour and pay their bills? What was the definition for this study?
Well, we contacted people via comedian groups, really.
Okay.
We asked them about whether they were amateur or professional. We asked them how many times they performed, how long they performed. It was a very mixed group of people, actually. We haven't actually looked to see whether these differences relate to the results on the questionnaire, admittedly. So these are results averaged across a wide range of types of question, of comedian. Mm-hmm. They're almost all stand-up comedians. They almost all talk to themselves as stand-up comedians. But they were very varied in terms of their, the time they'd been doing it and so on.
Well, I think if you went back into the study, I think it would be interesting to see if there was a difference in the psychopathic tendencies between comedians that were just full-time comedians and comedians that also had quote-unquote non-creative jobs to supplement their income, because clearly they have to work within, as you would say, inside the box more than somebody who's just touring or, you know, doing that type of thing. Do you think you would see differences?
We are going to do that. But the point is the paper, you know, it's a limited amount they'll publish. But we are actually, indeed today, we were about to start to do that and then something got in the way. So we are going to do that.
Professor, are you having trouble focusing today?
Why do you say that?
Because you said something got in the way, like a comedian with psychopathic tendencies would try to, like, write, but then all of a sudden, like, a cartoon would come on.
No, what had got in the way, I had a whole lot of books that I had to move.
Oh. Where?
I had part of my house painted, and I moved the books, and I had to move them back again, and the guy that actually helped with the study is here, uh-huh. And we were going to look at this other question that you'd mentioned.
Oh, well, I'm glad I thought of that as you thought of that.
No, that's a good point. By the way, you use the term psychopathic. I'm a bit worried about that because psychopathic is a different idea, you see.
Well, they're
not psychopaths. These are psychotic traits.
And, okay.
And I know that in the United States the term psychotic is used...
For a psychopath, you're right. Okay.
It's often used the same way, but they're not psychopaths.
Okay, psychotic. Psychotic tendency.
Psychotic, yeah. It's equally bad sounding, but...
Trust me, I'm dealing with psychopaths and psychotics in my studio right now. I got one eye on them and one eye on you.
Right.
So, there was about four times as many men as women who participated in the survey. I was wondering if you found differences in the results between men and women.
Yes. The women actually showed a bigger effect on the questionnaire than the men, actually. They seem to be more unusual.
well, Professor Man to Man, I don't think we needed to do a survey to figure that out.
No, I realize that, but we're talking about comedians here.
Yes, and female comedians are more nuts than regular females, trust me.
Well, that did seem to be the case, yes.
Wait a minute now.
Woman, you're a horrible example of a normal female comedian. You're nuts.
This is true.
Not that the study says these people are nuts, but I'm saying you're nuts.
Yes, yes.
There's a difference. Okay. So in the study, you talked about one of the symptoms of this that comedians suffer from is a reduced feeling of pleasure. Would that explain why comedians need such a high-stress job like performing to get satisfaction?
So I didn't get that.
Okay. You talked about a reduced feeling of pleasure in your study. Would that explain why comedians need such a high-stress job like performing to get satisfaction? Because comics will tell you that performing is a rush, is a high. Is that why they need to do this type of thing?
Well, that was one argument, yes. The high impulsive nonconformity scale... Mm-hmm. Which is sort of impulsive, extroverted. That's kind of seeking a kind of high, really. It's a tendency to want to seek a high. And one of our arguments was that maybe that was some kind of compensation for the more introverted, depressive thing on the other scale.
So this would be their release. Since, like, an everyday social event, social occurrences that most people can function in, where these people have a hard time, they really can't get the pleasures of a normal conversation because they stay in the corner, the stage is where they get their release, to get what they're...
Absolutely. That's what we were arguing, In fact, there is a quotation in the paper, which probably isn't in the press release, but... Mm-hmm. From a man who describes that, you say, who quite introverted, schizoid, but can be the life and soul of the party.
Right.
When he needs to be, and it's a sort of release, you see, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's certainly one theory about it.
Let me
comedians do, I think, describe that, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. But let me ask you this. For a lot of comics, the time where they feel most right, because, like you talk about, they are introverted, a lot of them, and they don't do well in the social places. They feel the most right on the stage when they get those laughs. But you're not always on stage. Sometimes you're on stage a couple times a week or whatever the case may be. Do you think that leads into why there's so many performers that have had issues with narcotics and substances of that type of thing?
I think so, probably, yes. If it's a kind of chronic problem that they need the high and they're not getting it often enough, they seek other ways of getting it, you see. So I think that's probably right. Of course, there are all sorts of reasons why people take narcotics and so on, but that might be a reason, yes.
Okay. Now, one of the traits that was outlined was a difficulty in focusing. But I would argue that a comedian does need to focus to construct a good joke. I mean, if you're not thinking clearly, you're not going to be able to write the setup and the punchline properly and have the cohesion you need to bring a room full of strangers along your journey with you. What would you say about that?
Well, I think it's we would be slightly simplifying it to say they don't focus. I think the thing about creativity mm-hmm. is that it involves both. It involves being able to think outside the box and think divergently, laterally, but then also to focus in. Because if you just think outside the box, that's kind of craziness, really. That's what psychotics do. They just think outside the box and they can't focus their mind at all. So a proper view of creativity is that it involves both, really, a switching between one and the other. And indeed, that's true in scientific creativity. Often scientists actually have to think laterally mm-hmm. in order to try to solve a problem, but then they've got to focus in on the problem eventually in order to solve it. And I think that's the same in artistic creativity. If you're a painter and you're just throwing paint on a canvas, it's not quite so necessary because that's more extreme divergent process. But any other kind of creativity, writing, for example, you can't just write gobbledygook. You've got to focus in eventually on something that's proper, you know, English, really, prose. And the same with a comedian. Yeah, they think outside the box, but then they hang on to the thought that they've thought of and then, you know, can bring it in logically in some form.
See, I would say that comedians successful comedians who do this for a living, they do have the ability to think out of the box, to create the art. But I would also argue that the ones that are successful have to think inside the box to keep getting work, to do the necessary steps to function in society and the business world. So I would say that they have hands in both aspects of that. Maybe they're a little bit more advanced in the business dealings too. What do you think?
Oh, yes, no doubt. I mean, of course, it's also to do with intelligence. I mean, whatever that means.
I have no idea.
Smart at doing something. I mean, any of these things, if they can, you know, just one-sided, they're not going to work, you know. You can't be completely outside the box. You've got to, all the time, you've got to live in the real world and so on. So I think it's a matter also of basically smother. Are you a comedian, by the way?
I am.
Depends who you ask.
That's just Joe. Don't mind him. Joe has issues. Yes, Professor. I am a comedian. I've been doing this for a living for like 16 years.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I'm nuts. But.
Yeah.
But now here's the thing. I'm kind of one of the minorities in comedians in the fact that I'm not very self-destructive, although people who know me would say maybe I am in some ways, but I can function in the business world. But a lot of comics are very self-destructive. We've seen that with the abuses of food and drugs and alcohol. What do you think your study speaks to as far as that, the self-destructive tendencies of comedians?
Well, I think it's just part of the spectrum of being unusual, if you know what I mean. Because the thing about this whole the theory behind this is that these traits are on some spectrum with mental health problems, although mostly the people on the spectrum are perfectly healthy and adapted, but since they are on a spectrum, people have some kind of troubled psyche, if you like, as a result of their personality. Anybody who's not average has a certain amount of issue with living and...
I don't know anybody who doesn't have an issue with living. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't have an issue with living. I mean, we all have, like today you had an issue. You had to move books. I mean, everybody has things that they have to do that make, you know, it's just how you deal with it. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but there are some people who are more in the middle of the distribution and other people are, you know, they're terribly calm or whatever.
Fair enough.
Some people on this spectrum that we're talking about, have rather more of an issue, I think, and so they may deal with life in all sorts of ways, including drugs and so on. I mean, I don't think there's any mystery about the fact that people on certain dimensions of personality are more troubled.
Right. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just...
No.
We were talking about the spectrum and everything, and as far as the spectrum... It just got me thinking as far as the spectrum of the lifestyle a comedian lives. I'm talking about a full-time comic. A full-time comedian leads a high-stress life because there's a lot of travel involved, a lot of rejection. There's often little consistency in the daily routine. And, you know, the daily routine is so important for so many of us to be familiar, to just do what we do every day, whether it's getting coffee at the same place or going to the same job all the time. Comics don't have that. So I was wondering if you think these things lead to the psychotic tendencies, or were the psychotic tendencies there first, which leads people to pursue careers in comedy? Kind of like the chicken and the egg, so to speak.
Well, I have to say rather boringly, it's probably a bit of both, you know. That I think that people who have certain personality characteristics are led into certain kinds of lifestyle activity.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the very thing that they're led into exacerbates the stress of and so on, and so you're quite right that part of the behaviors like drug taking and so on probably do stem from the lifestyle that they have, but they're led into that lifestyle, I suspect, because of certain personality characteristics. You know, they choose it because it gives them some kind of boost and so on.
Right. No,
so
that makes sense.
I think it's not a chicken or egg question. It's a matter of both feeding upon the other, as it were.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. I just wanted to throw chicken and the egg in there, but now I feel terrible about that. I'm going to punch Joe for that. Is that an overreaction?
Yeah. Maybe a little.
I was wondering, what do you think the effects of prescription medication would be to help alleviate some of the tendencies that comedians have in dealing with the regular world around them? How do you think that would affect them in performing if, like, all of a sudden they felt right in the real world most of the time? Do you think it would reduce their creativity?
You mean regular medication?
I mean prescription medication, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, right.
Anxiety medication.
Well, the evidence of other kinds of creativity,
mm-hmm,
is that you take some people with bipolar disorder, mm-hmm, say, or bipolar tendencies, that generally speaking, it dulls the creativity, it dampens it down, and often people won't take the medication because of that. You know, their life loses a certain emotional edge.
Mm-hmm.
And so one can imagine that in the case of comedians, you'd get the same thing. Having said that, of course, there have been, I don't know whether Spike Milligan is well known, is he, in the States? I mean,
no, I haven't heard of Spike Milligan, but...
Milligan was a famous comedian who...
Wasn't he one of the goons?
He definitely had bipolar disorder. I mean, he wasn't on the spectrum. He was sort of right at the end of it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he was a goon in the 1950s, 60s.
Yeah, that's the one thing Pip Helix knew. I wish you would have put that in the study so she could have contributed.
Right. Anyway, so he sort of had to be on medication in order to control his moods, you know. So, but for many people on the spectrum of bipolar, and schizophrenia, they find that the medication dulls their senses, really.
So you would expect that they would probably not be as creative, and they probably wouldn't feel the same. They wouldn't feel the same when the crowd applauds and laughs at them. So they might not continue to take the medication. Is that what we're saying here?
Yes, that would be my prediction. Yeah.
Okay. Now, a lot of comedians come from a troubled upbringing. That's why they say, you know, you find humor in pain. I was wondering if there was anything in the in your survey that talked about what type of upbringing, if there was traumatic events, and what the results of that showed.
Well, that was another question we did ask, but we didn't have properly analyzed it. One thing we did do, however, is, and the journal didn't publish it, was we asked the comedians whether they'd ever had any mental health issues, mm-hmm. and also whether their relatives had had any mental health issues, and like alcoholism or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia.
I'm looking at them right now across the table.
What was quite interesting was that the comedians themselves actually had a rather low incidence of actual mental illness, mm-hmm. but the relatives had a significantly higher level.
Huh.
And one can infer from that, I think, that probably their childhood was not totally satisfactory. But the journal didn't put... We put that in the paper originally, but they took it out.
Well, curse them. We'll send some schizophrenics over there now to straighten them out.
Sorry?
I said, shame on them. We'll send some schizophrenics over there right now to straighten them out. They won't do that to
yes,
the next paper.
Yes, well, I think they were quite right in the sense that they were querying the way we collected the data. If you ask people have they ever had any mental health problems, you know, you can't validate it. It's a fairly loose kind of way of doing it. And so they weren't convinced that it was reliable. See. But it was a very significant difference between the relatives and the comedians themselves. The relatives seemed to have a high incidence of a whole range of mental health issues, which would mean, as I say, that the background or the childhood perhaps of the comedians themselves wasn't very good.
Yeah, the comedian was probably trying to figure out with a way to deal with that, you know. You know.
Maybe, yes, exactly, yes. I mean, I think that's a very important area, really, that the way people, I mean, mostly people deal with child abuse, unfortunately, by becoming, you know, disturbed themselves, but,
right.
You know, people who can deal with it with humor.
Like a creative coping mechanism.
Right.
A more healthy way of dealing with it.
Right. Do you think a traumatic event in somebody's life, whether they saw a family member die or there was a car wreck where somebody that they were close to became paralyzed, do you think that would set somebody on the course to try and make people laugh later on, again, as a coping mechanism?
I do, yes. I can see that happening. I mean, I think it depends, again, on the personality. I think there are certain... things about these traits which are interesting in that if people have a strong what's called ego strength, they can stand back from, you know, certain kind of situations you know, if they have a sense of humor, they can turn it into black humor or something. Or, yeah, I can see that happening.
Okay. Mm. Do you, why do you think comedians tested more introverted than actors?
Well, because I think actors are kind of more sociable. They're more normally sociable, shall we say, in the sense that they're wanting to engage with an audience. See, I you may have a view of this. I have a feeling that comedians don't often want to engage with the audience. They're acting out some kind of buzz, you know, in telling the joke and so on, although basically they're rather introverted. Whereas actors are, I think, more, well, genuine, if you like.
I don't know if I would agree with that because, I mean, there are plenty of comedians who, besides the script, like an actor would have, improvise a lot and directly engage in the audience, at least during the portion of the show, you know, where they'll go around the room and ask people certain things about themselves and bring the audience's world into their world and kind of mesh it. I would think that would kind of be a social interaction, wouldn't it?
Well, it might be. It might simply be a kind of device, as it were, for, you know, furthering their comedic performance. I'm on weak ground here. I don't know what I should explain. But it seemed to me that it was somehow more logical that actors were more simplistically sociable, as it were.
Okay.
I think comedians are more complicated. They have a more complicated psychology than actors, shall we say? Of course, the point is that many comedians are also actors, and
right.
Actors are also comedians. So all of these statements are generalizations. But if we take the average effect, it seems to me that the psychology of comedians is more complicated than actors, shall we say? Whatever that means.
And they're much nicer people and much more clever. Wouldn't you say that, Professor?
Sorry?
She said they're much nicer people and more clever. Wouldn't you say, Professor? She's trying so hard. She's acting out.
No, I want to hear an Oxford professor say comedians are much smarter and nicer than actors. Say it, say it!
Well, I think they... They certainly appeal to me more, yes.
Yes!
I quite like comedy, you know, and I find it very, very interesting and amusing, whereas, you know, unless an actor is a very good actor,
right?
You know, it can be rather boring. So, no, I think, comedians aren't...
Well, Professor, we want to thank you for your time. We realize it's very late where you are.
Yes, thank you very much.
We appreciate it. We look forward to... seeing what other research you come out with in the future, and hopefully we'll have you again sometime. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you very much, Professor.
Is that okay?
Excuse me?
Okay.
Yeah, that was great. Yes. That was great. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
We very much did.
You're going to sleep now.
All right, sweet dreams. All right, bye-bye.
Good night, Professor.
Bye then. Cheers.
Bye. See? The Oxford professor said comedians are better. Neener, neener, neener.
Yeah, because it was a chick putting him in a corner.
I know.
Oxford professors are like, rather, I mean, whatever, to get her to stop yapping, whatever. That's what that was. Is she still talking at me?
He's just afraid of the psychotic on the other end of the phone.
Are there sound issues okay now?
Yeah, they saying that they have sound again. They were in and out for a little bit.
I don't know. Thank you for letting me know.
I know.
There's nothing I could do about that.
No.
All right, that was very interesting.
It was fascinating, to tell you the truth.
I was not really surprised by the results of the study, nor were the professor. Were you guys surprised by that?
No,
not at all. As a matter of fact, there's a lot.
You thought it was about you.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to kid you here. There's a lot of stuff in here that answers a lot of my questions about myself. You know, I mean, and a lot of...
Stupid phone.
Yeah. And a lot of times, comics will talk about the insanity that there must be a screw loose for us for the simple reason: what would possess a normal person to get in a car, drive from anywhere from 30 to 3 hours, go in a building, talk to strangers from 15 to 45 minutes to an hour to get their approval, mm-hmm. and when the show's over, try to hide in the corner because you don't like to interact with people.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. It's not normal.
Well, you and I, we talk all the time how we're both very antisocial.
I'm a very anti...
But for good reason. I would be, too, with that personality.
Look, I've you know, and folks will be seeing more of it in my blog this week.
Tease.
The thing about it is I've always been antisocial, and what I'm finding out is I've always built walls around myself because it was a comfort zone.
We
after
know
my
about
dad...
these walls. They're coming down. We're a little afraid.
Well, no. There was a comfort zone in there. As a matter of fact, there was a picture in on my Facebook page where it was when I was 17, and it was a really good time. It was a New Year's Eve, and I was there with all my friends. I really remember. It was so cool that they posted the pictures. And there was a girl there that had a, you know, she had a arm around me. And I'm like, I don't even remember liking me and stuff like that. But I remember she liked me, and I kind of brushed her off because I didn't feel like being bothered. And a lot of relationships...
Oh, get in the way of your masturbating.
But, no, but...
such a heavy schedule.
But even...
You have car magazines to get home to and National Geographic from 1912.
But even... But
Joe's going to get this, Drew, no matter what we do.
Yes.
Now let's derail him and see if we can build a wall.
Because this is... It's very fascinating to me. It's very dating and stuff like that with girls, I didn't date that much because I just was not. I like
attractive.
Girls. Don't get me wrong. You've heard my antics. I was attractive. I was when I was that age. I was. And the thing about it
and
was
now you have that to overcome.
Well, I wasn't. But it wasn't like I just wanted to keep to myself.
It's hard to talk to people. Pip, are you antisocial?
I kind of am. I put on a social face, but I'm active.
Is that your social face?
Yeah, I know.
I don't think others should see that.
I know, really.
That should be your stay-home face.
I'm sorry you guys have to see this one.
I'm feeling antisocial now. Joe, give me one of your walls. That face is scaring me.
Yeah, you know, I it's so funny because the minute you said that about hiding in the corner, not wanting to speak to people, when I did community theater, there was one particular time where... Well, before the show, they have no idea that you're in the show. So
right.
I just like slouched into the theater.
You're dressed as a nun.
Well, no, not that show.
Okay.
I like slouched into the theater and hid. And I was wearing like all black like usual. Mm. And I just kind of like was trying to sneak out. But you had to go through the room where everybody socialized after the show. Because the dressing rooms led right into there. So if you kind of like snuck along the edges of the room, you could try to get away from them.
Right.
But I didn't want to talk to any of these people after the show. You've seen my show. That's all I got for you. Me is going home.
I think it's weird, though. There are comics, and we're all kind of in the same vein that we realize. I have to talk because I'm trying to sell merch.
Right.
So I do. But there are comics that genuinely want to be there and say hello to the people and get that other high and feel important. That's all it could be, to feel important for that much longer.
Yeah.
For me, I got my high. I'd love to be hanging out. I like to talk to other comics, although less and less lately, I must admit. But now that I have music on my phone,
right?
You know, I talk to other guys.
I'll listen to Slade or something like that.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of the guys, I'll ride with, you know, my group of guys on the island. You know, if I'm riding with them, those guys after shows are on the phone with all of each other. Hey, how you do? How's it traffic? Blah blah blah. I love them to death. They're my pal. I get in the car. I just want to crank some tunes and just be by myself. You know, and I guess it's that social interaction with other comics. I noticed that. More of some of the other comics are more socially interactive with that, you know,
well,
with themselves
than
I am.
Yeah.
Networking is a big part of this business.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
They were talking about like telepathy and like paranormal stuff. I have not encountered
that. I
don't really talk to ghosts. I mean, I don't talk to ghosts. Really stupid. I don't talk to comics about ghosts very often, so I don't know. But I've never been like with the comics that don't leave me alone in this hotel room. It's haunted.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest of the traits they were talking about. The unusual experiences such as belief in telepathy and paranormal events. That one I could not relate to as much as the other ones. That just seemed the strangest. I have not noticed that.
The thing about it with stuff like that, I've seen two instances of it. I witnessed two instances of it, but it's never been an agenda. I just happened to see something and be somewhere where this happened.
Yeah.
So, but it's not like it's what happened. But it's not like my, you know, an agenda I have or something that I'm like I'm firmly believe and I'm trying to push. But like, you know, being socially awkward, you know,
Socially awkward, that we can all relate to.
Joe, did you see Casper?
No.
This I can relate to. I liked his comic books.
I liked his comic books.
Yeah. But, and watch the levels in case I got added another year.
I love stupid. I'm choking a ghost, you cunt. I hope a gargoyle strangles you in your sleep.
Oh, I hope so, too.
It'll probably be your wife, but you call him any worse.
Probably. But no, I to tell you the truth, man, I am a very depressed person. Now, I've always thought that I wasn't the comic with issues. Now, hold your tongue. I didn't think I was the comic with issues until last year. Well, a lot of things in my personal life, there was a lot of things in my personal life that I kind of pushed back and dismissed and just put to the side, and it all came roaring forward.
Right.
And I never thought I was a comic issues till it, you know, till last year, the beginning, this time last year.
A lot of comics have issues. Like, we all know on this show what the traumatic event was in your life.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. A lot of comics do have that thing. You, I know, you had some mental illness in your family.
Oh, boy, howdy.
No, but that was, like, I try to think back. To me, I mean, the rebellious part, we're thinking outside the rebellious part, that's definitely me. Because I was always rogue Jew. But as far as, like, we're going to have bacon!
Rogue Jew. And we're going to get tattoos!
We are definitely getting that put on a cape.
And we do believe in Jesus.
No, those are Jews for Jesus. They're not. They don't even count, Joe. Yeah, really. We're not using our coupons because we don't have to. Yeah. No, but like, I didn't have that traumatic event. My parents fought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always fought, but there was no divorce. There was no death. There was no... I mean, there might be mental illness. I'm not going to say there wasn't, but Joe? it certainly wasn't as pronounced as what you were dealing with, Pip.
Right.
So, and yet, you know, that's why I always look at myself as the comic with non-issues, because they say you need all this pain. We know Joe's pain. No, not a lot of people do know that pain
that
Joe suffered, but when you hear that, it makes sense why Joe is on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Because basically, you know, the deal was my father died when I was a kid. He committed suicide. I was the last person to see him, and I just wrote it all right, you know. But people were questioning me and stuff like that. My mother was always what do you want out of me? So what happened was my mother had to go out to work, and I was alone a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got very big into sitcoms, All in the Family and the Jeffersons and stuff. That's why I could recite all that stuff, because that was my family. That was my escape. That was the family I didn't have.
Yeah.
And basically, because I was alone all the time, I set up myself to be alone, to entertain myself. It was my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, my comfort zone, where I was socially awkward because I just was that way. Like I said, in my dating years and stuff like that, even certain situations now where I should be very happy about stuff, in certain situations I'm like, I don't smile at pictures. I, you know, it's been brought up to me by two different people. I don't do that. You know, so it's just weird. But the need to make people laugh is a drug. It's a drug. It covers the pain.
Well, it's very interesting. It's almost like we're saying, if you have that type of thing in your life, there's really two alternatives. There's a life of entertaining, you know, where you try to mask the pain by being accepted by a group of people.
Yeah.
Or you go into a mall and shoot people. Or school.
Essentially, almost,
I mean,
yes.
It kind of seems like that's what it is. So really, America, you're welcome that we're doing comedy.
Yeah, really.
I know you don't think so when you're at the shows, but it could be a lot worse. Sure, we'd have more TV credits, but it'd be a one-time appearance.
And it's just, and sometimes you feel helpless. Now, I'll never forget.
I do when I'm sitting in the back and I've booked you.
Shut up. I know.
But Joe, please. I'm just giving you more pain to fuel your need to make others laugh.
But you're going to be hilarious at the next gig.
I'll never forget when I was in elementary school, and there were these girls hanging out in the bleachers, and I made these girls laugh. I was doing imitations and stuff like that.
Penis.
Right. And I was the feeling of power that I had.
Yeah.
The feeling of power that you have on stage.
It's a mighty girthy penis.
It's a very special Davin's Den with an unusually sensitive and serious Joe Curry.
Joe's just like trying to like plow through this. And like, we're not doing therapy because you're not paying us that wage. I know you want to do that, but we've done it enough on this show.
I understand.
I'm not going to have another breakdown Joe Curry
but,
show.
But no, but that's why I'm saying the feeling that because basically I never thought it was the comic with issues until this time last year where I was. As a matter of fact, so much so, it affected me on this show. Go back. If you folks want to curious, go back to listen to the shows a year ago at this time. I was like a zombie. I never thought it was the guy. I had my moments,
it was funny times.
But there was one time I was listening to a replay, and I was like, really? Why'd you even bother coming? And I'm saying that to myself, listening to the replay.
I think Pip and I had that same conversation.
You most certainly did, and we all had it together. You know, I'm not kidding. So, but it's, even though you don't, there's something there lurking that is an issue that
all
makes
right.
you do this.
Well, you guys know me. Do you think I'm just missing my issue? Because I really feel fairly well adjusted.
There's got to be something there. A good friend of mine I always thought was the guy without the issue. And he actually has some, you know, so it's...
No, I mean, everybody has things, right. But I don't think I have the issues compared to what you and Pip have.
But what drove you? What was your need? There's a need.
I do have the shyness. I am very introverted.
Yeah.
Only child has got to be a big part of it, too.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm an only child, too. I mean, I had a brother, but I mean, because you had to entertain yourself and make your own world.
Yeah, but there's Chris and Tony Rock. They're both comedians.
But still, you try to make your own world. And the thing about it is, look.
But that's not a tragic event. That's a lack of sperm
and
egg.
No, but there's a driving force. I mean, look, we all started together. You see, we've all done those hellacious shows
only
together.
Only one of us was smart enough to stop.
I know, but, right. But we've done them.
I couldn't take it.
Yeah, we came back for more. Every time. What is the drive that feeds
well,
that?
Well, now, for me, it's how I make my money.
But before that, you weren't making money then. You were
making it now.
I know, but we were open micers. I would drive in Thing Island. You would come out to the
high. But it was a high. But before, but what led me to that high, that's what I don't know. I mean, I was always
that's
funny.
That's the thing. Because the thing is, those gigs we did, a lot of them were horrendous, awful. But we came back every week for more.
Well,
what feeds that?
But here's the weird part of it, Joe. I liked people. I really liked people.
Yeah.
A lot more before I started doing comedy. Now I can't stand any of yous. But because I was a psych major, a psychology major in college.
That's crazy.
Exactly. Yes, it is, Joe. I was a psych major because I wanted to help people. I wanted to genuinely help people. Now that I've gotten to know people...
Fuck them.
Yes! Yes, Joe! So maybe comedy has damaged me more than I was going into this whole thing.
Maybe so.
Yeah. I'm going to be amazing in 20 years when you people are done screwing up my life.
Bitter fuck.
Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, I think that there are two sides to what you see. You do get like the applause and people liking you, but you also see this nasty underbelly that you see sometimes at audiences because it's just like, you know, the counter check person, the cashier, that gets abuse from the public. The comedians get heckled because here's something
heckled
they think,
and that's during the show.
During
the
show.
Which you go, God, society stinks. But then it's when it's people after the show tell you nasty things, whether it's about you or the other comic on the show, just needlessly nasty. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. America, we don't give a shit what your opinion is after the show. We really don't.
But a lot of times,
Joe, do you care at the end of the show? You want them
to
have a good time.
You want them to have a good time, but you learned like a lot of times, like when you know you
I'm
had
making
a,
friends. I'm sure in the chat.
Well, no,
oh,
but
sure.
You know when you have a good set, you know a really good set, and if people that come
I've
up,
I've heard others,
right?
I don't.
But if you have a good set and like you're working with a headliner or something like that, not Davin, but well, another headliner, Polly. But no, but even
not
with
Davin.
With Davin too. So, but you'll come up and
you don't have to backtrack on your nastiness.
But they'll come up and they'll thank you. Oh, you were so funny. And you had a great set. And they don't even look at you or talk to you.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, really? I'm busting my balls
it's
here?
Yeah, like it's all of a sudden, to speak to him, what Joe's saying. Like, say Joe's up there for 30 minutes, has a great set. He's the cat's meow. They're right. Loving him and everything. At the end of the night, another guy just went on for 45 or an hour. It's like... And it just doesn't always happen, but sometimes you're completely discarded.
Yeah. You're discarded. Now, the thing about that is, in that moment, and I've said it to myself, when you feel discarded, oh, you were hostile, oh, I love, can I, and they don't even look at you. I'm like, really? And as soon as I say really, I go, I say to myself, really, needy? Mr. Needy, what, you need approval? You need approval? You want to hold your hand? Is that what you want? You want approval? You know you had a good set. You want approval? You want to give you buy a drink? You know? So when I feel that way, I lay back into myself going, is this why you do this? Needy, you need approval? Is that why you do that? So it's and it goes back to this whole study.
It's a
this,
tug of war.
Everything we've been discussing. Yes, it is. So it's fascinating. That's why I've been silent and very interesting. Is like, you know, I started writing the blog on this today, and I just look back on a lot of things. A lot of things I've been, you know, talking with therapy and stuff like that. That a lot of things that dawn on you. No pun intended. But dawn.
They don't know what that means.
Yeah, but you know.
Inside humor.
Oh, God, I tell you what, between Pip coming in with jokes that questions that aren't pertinent to the study.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was reading. You know what? It's hard.
You know,
to tell.
Joe. Remember when you were in the barrel?
Yeah.
I don't think there's much you can do to get her out of the barrel.
It's psychotic. You help with the psychotic.
I thought I saw psychotic somewhere.
Yeah. It did say psychotic.
Yeah, right.
But he's using it in a different sense than he's thinking that we're using it.
Well, I was using psychotic tendencies. I was using it in the
study.
Yeah,
you were using it exactly the way he used it. But then he was like, oh, you know, I know you Americans are thinking psychotic. Like, oh, I've got a gun. Here's the ball. Wah! You know, and that's not what it meant.
You know, Pip.
Wow.
Sometimes you're insensitive. Sometimes you say things that might offend people and are hurtful.
I come from a long line of postal workers. I'm entitled.
You do.
I do.
It seems natural for you people.
Yeah, it is.
You people.
Yeah.
All right. So then overall, we kind of related.
Yeah.
We kind of related.
I'm still not sure why you came at this, though, Davin. I mean, obviously.
What do you mean?
I don't. Something will crop out.
We'll figure out.
I mean, someday. Joe might have hit.
Have been abused somehow. You just don't. You haven't opened up about it yet.
No, I really wasn't. I was never I got smacked on the bottom on occasion, but I wasn't smacked around by my parents.
Mm.
You know, I wasn't the cool kid by any stretch of the imagination.
You didn't have a weird uncle?
I had many weird. No. I mean, I was maybe fat, but I wasn't even the slowest of the fat kids. I was the fastest of the fat kids. When it came to, as far as the fat kids go, I was the best athlete.
Only child. Only child.
That could be part
Only
of it,
child.
But I don't. See, I don't. And Seinfeld didn't have a bad upbringing.
No, I mean, did you feel like he got a lot of attention as a child?
My mom, I can do no wrong in my mom's eyes until I do wrong, and then I don't love her anymore. You know, talk about a pendulum. That's the stress I face today because I am the only child. Like I'm my mother's world, and she calls me up with like insane stuff. It's like, Mom, I'm all right, you're going to Canada? We don't think you should go to Canada in January. All right, well, next time I'll book it for August. Whatever. Make sure you pack boots and a snow shovel. Great idea.
I used to go through the same thing with my mother. As a matter of fact, there's something from my childhood. I remember there was a rafting trip that my scout troop took.
Right.
And my mother wouldn't let me go.
Why not?
Because I was all she had, and I guess she was afraid I was going to drown to hit my head on a rock or something like that.
God, I wish your mother was here to give her a talking to.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. The chat said, oh, you haven't been abused? Come to the chat room. We'll fix that shit right up for you.
Really? You want to talk loud? You want to talk? I got you, Leanne, one press away. Settle down there, Den Pen. And if we were on video, we still have kittens.
That's true.
I think they called you bluff.
Listen, she sung more songs. I'll put a whole medley on. I don't give a shit. I'll blow all this shit up.
Oh, they freaked out last week. We were in there.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, Trucker Tom says you took his what he said out of context, but I didn't read what he said. But Trucker Tom was said that you took it out of context. I said, yeah, I made good radio. I really don't care.
Who did?
Joe. When Joe stopped what we were doing to say Trucker Tom had like another awful joke.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. He's trying to backpedal. All right.
I don't really care. I trust Joe's judgment in that case.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, I think that I don't really know if the study – I don't think the study proves anything. I think it shows what even the professor kind of already knew.
Yeah, yeah. It was really just backing up what people instinctively thought. But, I mean –
Because
mean,
that's the famous comics. Because a lot of these big stars, like a Belushi – And I can't think of the other guy. The other fat guy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
David Farley.
Farley. Yeah, because you think of guys like that who burn out, like Freddie Prinze, not Junior, like Freddie Prinze. Like, they burn out. They have the Richard Pryor with all the drug problems and everything.
Right.
They burn out so quickly.
Yeah.
And I just think it's constantly chasing the high, but it probably does. For some, I don't know if this speaks to it, but there is a need that we have to get love from other people that are giving it to us. Because
right.
we all have people that love us mm-hmm. in our lives.
Yes.
Two, three of us have people that love us. Joe has family, not the ones he lives with, but Joe has family that love him.
Yes.
Joe has friends that love him. You have people that love you. I have people. Still, we have the need to go out and do
for
this.
More attention and yes. get it's, more
it's,
love from
it's
other
a
people.
Drug, it's a drug yeah. that it takes care of. It's a drug that... It takes care of the need we have. A lot of the comics that have been the victim of drugs and let it ruin their lives.
I don't really think they were a victim of drugs. They abused the drugs. The drugs didn't abuse them.
Right. Okay. Now, anyway. But the victim of drug... It,
never saw a joint go, put me down, you bastard!
But...
Hey, man, stop smoking me. I'm going to abuse you.
Give me your mouth.
I never saw the powder go, come on, you want to smell me? I mean, come on, Joe. I mean, the comic was proactive in that decision.
Man, you pulled that out of the bag.
I most certainly did. It was my need to be loved.
I had the real... And I'm like, well, that's pretty funny.
And we were saved, Yulee Adams.
You got your ass out of town on that one.
Well, you know, listen, I was going to step and tell him, but Pip was still in the barrel, so...
Mm. But there are, you know, a lot of guys that you were like, why would you do this to yourself?
Yeah.
The way we work so hard, because they need to feed that hurt with comedy... But some guys, that's not enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough. We have to go one more.
Well, I mean, and there is also this conundrum for all performers is that you're out on the stage, and at that moment, the feeling is that everybody's loving you, and then you go back to a hotel room.
It's empty.
And you're alone with your dark thoughts. And so, you know, a lot of the times
and the hotel, cheap amount of lotion, that's not going to do the job.
Look at this.
It's 15 hours till my next show. Really, Motel 6? Really?
Well,
you can spring for a little bit more hair conditioner, a little more body lotion. Jeez.
Well, you guys know, but believe me, you guys know the issues I was going through last year.
Anybody who's listened to the show knows the issues you were going through.
Right, it's the last December. So, but the thing about it was I had a lot of free time with those issues. We weren't doing the show. We were on break. I wasn't doing comedy because I was doing the dumb Santa Claus stuff, you know. So I had a lot of free time to think, ponder, act out, and stuff like that. And I thought I would be over it going into January, and I wasn't. It was far from it. You know, and finally took me a year to finally get some of my marbles back.
So
it's
you're good. You're getting the help you need.
Yeah.
So speaking of a lot of free time, I just drove across the country again, which gives you a lot of time with your thoughts. If you're like Joe, you try to better yourself or heal. I do none of those things.
No books on tape for you.
No, I don't want to look into why I'm the way I am. I'm pretty lucky, I think. But I was thinking about, you know, relationships, because you have, like, this time you think about relationships. And I was listening to all different music and everything. And I was thinking about, like, the songs that you had with somebody. Like, that was their song. Like,
right.
That was your song with them.
You associate with them.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yes,
you
yes.
go, this is our song. And, like, how prophetic it was, at least in me. Like, for instance, with my wife. Yeah, this is the song that me and my wife have. You guys heard it at the wedding. It's Kisses Forever.
That's a good tune.
Thank you. I didn't write it. I'll just play it a little bit, and then I'll stop it. And so far, so good. And now I heard that song. We were maybe together 2 weeks. She might have even seen another guy. That hussy. And I was like walking in the Port Authority with my CD disc man on, like, and that was like Kiss's 1987 release or 88. I don't remember. Hot in the Shade. That song was on, and it made me think of her.
Yes.
While you're walking, while you're stepping over bums and crack vials, what the hell are you doing there?
This is right when I was a paralegal, Joe.
Oh, okay, all right.
So this was a paralegal right before law school. I was thinking about how I could have a stupid bit 20 years later.
All right.
Write it down. Remember this moment. What a great callback this would be.
But it, But it's kind of prophetic, at least in that we have been together. It seems like forever. But, but like, we've been together all these years, and it's stuck. And that was, like, the time it worked.
Yes,
but then there was other songs I had with other people. Am I insane, or can you guys relate to me?
No, now? I can relate to it, yes.
All right, and then there was, like, other songs. Like, where is this one? I want to find this one. I was dating this girl for a couple of weeks. I really, really liked her, though. I met her in summer school in college. No, Joe, not because I was stupid, because you take courses. But I was her. She was just coming out of a long-term relationship.
Oh.
She had just been with somebody for years. And I was like her rebound guy.
Nice.
And, oh, like, I've been in those.
What?
I've been in those.
Yeah, and this is the song that I thought of. And was kind of, I never told her this is our song.
Right.
You're with somebody for like a very short period of time.
Only for a moment?
Yeah, that's too scary.
Funny. No, but this is the song.
Psycho Killer?
Yeah. By my favorite band, so it's not surprising I would pick this.
Right.
Air Supply?
This is Aerosmith, Chip Away the Stone.
That's good too.
And that's what I was trying to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were really, like, into each other.
Yeah.
It was like one of these whirlwind things, but it was just, like, for the summer.
Oh, it was supposed to be.
Right. And then like, before she goes back to school, talk about a mind screw. I'm trying to remember if I get this right. She gave me, like, a dozen, I want to say yellow roses, with one red rose in the middle. What the fuck? And this was probably the only girl that ever ended it with me.
Oh.
You know.
Ouch.
Yeah, so, and talking about a mind screw, so that kind of hurt and everything, and then she goes back to college. She goes back to where she, and we're still friends, like, I went to her wedding and everything.
Right.
Bygones are bygones, huh?
Nah, you know, I'm cool like that. We're still friends and everything, but when she was in college, she would get drunk and call me. I was the drunk call.
Oh,
which,
God.
You know, 2 a.m., I need this. Then she tells me, like, one night, drunk out of her mind, she's like, oh, I had a dream, and you were at something like
Martin
I was
Luther
at
King.
What?
Martin Luther King?
She wasn't black, Joe. We weren't going to D.C. together. Jesus.
Did you go to the march together?
We did march together. Yes. Right? We did. So she tells me she has this like dream, and like I'm at the wedding or something. I'm like, oh, okay. Kind of weird. She's like, well, no, actually, you were in the wedding, like we were getting married or something.
Oh dear.
I mean, talk about a mind screw.
Yeah,
but that was the girl who I wanted to chip away the stone at, like,
yeah.
I thought, because I really liked that girl, because we, you know what they say, they you click.
Yeah,
yes.
we clicked with each other right away.
Right.
And then it just ended because it was a rebound thing.
And
here was the biggest mind screw of all, which leads me to my last one, I'll play it in a second. My girl, my first real long-term girlfriend. I had a girlfriend of a couple weeks before that, but the one I was with for a long time, Psycho, the one that used to beat the crap out of me and whatnot. There's my issue, Joe.
Yeah.
But,
she had a point, probably.
But the song I had with her, with that girlfriend, which I'll play in a second, and the song I had with the summer girl were played back to back, and they're both obscure songs.
Oh, weird.
While I was dating the girl from the summer, so I was like, "Well, it must mean something."
Yeah. No, see, oh my God, that's the thing that we're talking about in the study. Unusual experiences such as telepathy and paranormal events. You're reading signs into.
It could have
like,
just been a rock block,
like songs being played side. No.
It could have been Two for Tuesday.
No. That's exactly what they're talking about. Is magical thinking. That's what it's called.
Well, that's why we keep doing this. We think something magical is going to happen.
No, you imbue some kind of
You know, like
of
a PR girl is going to do what she says. You know, magical things.
Anybody want worms? We just opened a can.
It's fairy. You know what? I do believe in fairy tales. You're right.
Gummy worms, anyone?
Yeah.
So that song, the Chip Away at the Stone, was played back to back with this one while I was with the girl, while I was with the summer girl. Here's the one with my long-term relationship. This is What It Takes by Aerosmith, and I'll explain how messed up this was and how prophetic it was. So I
came. Love that song.
That's a great tune.
It is a great tune. But I came up with that song for us, for me and her, like a week or two into our relationship, and that was our song. But here's the messed up part: it's a breakup song.
I was just gonna say to you, I would look at you if I was going out with you and you said this is our song. I'd be like, are you mental?
Yeah, really.
But we were constantly, even at that point, and all through the relationship, like a typical stupid high school relationship.
Arguing.
Constantly breaking up. I'm not going out with you anymore. I'm not going out with you anymore.
Time of this shit.
Really? But that's what it was. Like, that was so prophetic. Because our song was a breakup song. Of course, it's Aerosmith because that's my band and everything. And we were constantly breaking up. But it is like, tell me how the pain's supposed to go. Because I'm sitting there with a high school with my hormones raging and everything. My first real girlfriend who's a psycho. And I can't get over this shit. Yeah. And this is back in the early 90s. So 1990. This is back in 1990.
Okay.
So this song's about a year old. Maybe not even a couple months old. It probably released as a single. Because Pump came out in 89.
Oh, really?
Pump came out in 89. So this came out in the summer of 90. But the song was a single, maybe in the summer of 90. So I have the cassette and everything.
Yeah.
The What It Takes. Cause I don't even have the cassette. I have a copy of the cassette because that's what you did.
That's what
you
did.
Shut up, Joe. I have it on CD now.
Oh, come on, Joe. Don't roll your eyes. You're a cheap little bitch, too. Exactly. I know you made copies of cassettes, didn't you?
Boy, oh boy, this is the Dead to Rights show, huh? Christ.
Come on, we all did it.
But this is how...
Piracy was the way.
This is how into her and into this whole thing was. So I play the song, What It Takes.
Yeah.
And I write out all the lyrics. But like, all the lyrics. And you have to rewind. Listen to some of these things at the end. And I was writing all these out. Listen to this. I'll jump to the end. There it is. Writing all that out.
What did you write out? Wow!
Yes!
Are you shitting me?
I wrote it
all. Are you shitting me?
I'm counting you let it go. I'm writing it all out, Joe.
Did you how did you spell that? Are you a lunatic? You are nuts.
No, see? That's number one. You're finally fitting the profile. That is number one.
I was a high school boy in love.
Yeah.
But now in my defense, when I went to YouTube to get these clips, I went to the lyric one. Somebody else wrote it out, too.
You're the asshole in town.
You
didn't,
really?
Don't tell. Please tell me you didn't write that.
This was before, you know, I had a computer, so I'm writing
it. She must have broke up with you. Like, really? Goodbye.
No,
stupid.
She was touched. Because remember.
She
I'm
went
sure
in
she
the head, yeah.
I don't know. But think about that. You would like that if you were a girl. Writing out all this, because you got to rewind, Joe. You got to rewind. I missed an ooh, whack, cow. I got
to
go back. How many
Let
It Goes are there? Here, just listen. I'll play a couple more seconds of the song. Listen to what I'm writing down.
I don't
down.
Think Steve Perry wrote the lyrics down as concisely as you did.
No, because he's from
because
Journey.
He's
and
from
this
Journey.
Is Steve, and this is Stephen Tyler from Aerosmith. Go a low barrel. See what happens when Joe tries to be funny? All right. Let me go back. I'm writing all these out.
Oh, my God.
I think you might be 12.
You got to be shitting me.
But here's the thing.
This is defense?
No.
Yeah, no, he's trying.
I was young enough. No, but here's the thing. For me, maybe it is part of that.
Magical thinking.
No, the telepathy and all that crap. Because I actually believe, if you look at it, the three girls that I can remember actually having songs with, they were prophetic. Now, there was a girl who I'm friends with, but we were kind of hung out. We were never seeing, but she was, like, rich and kind of stuck up. So I have, like, the Hall & Oates, She's a Rich Girl. But I really don't think that was prophetic.
No, that's just...
Now, when you say that you had songs with them, are they songs that you associate with these girls? Or songs
they
that
were our
you
songs.
Said this is our
these
song?
Are, these are... I don't know if I ever told the college one, the Chip Away the Stone.
Okay.
I don't, but my wife and I, we danced to Forever by Kiss at our wedding. The band was going to do it, but then we realized they wouldn't do it well, even though they were a very good band. So we played the CD. Me and the first girlfriend definitely knew that. I mean, somebody hands you a letter with What It Takes written down a million times, you know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I tell you a story. Now, I did see the show. I misread something, but I'm going to tell my story anyway.
So I could have had a song for you, but now I don't.
That's true, and I didn't read it. But here's the – but it's worth telling
I'm so glad I work on this.
I'm sorry. I was busy with other – but anyway, you ever see that song from Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster?
Yeah.
I've been traveling down the road. In my senior year, I dated a girl, Deanna. And I used to
notice how I didn't name any of the women, but Joe Blitz.
Because it's part of the it's part of the thing, you know. So I used to go, I'm traveling down the hall and I'm flirting with Deanna. Yeah, because I'm an asshole in high school.
I like but, that.
So I
did you write it out, Joe?
No,
then you weren't in love,
right? But so
really flirting.
It's funny because I got the Molly Hatchet Greatest Hits CD a couple of years ago. So I'm in the car and that song comes on, and I go, she must have thought I was an asshole, you know.
Why?
I wonder if she hears that song and goes, really, what? So we wound up, we're Facebook friends. It's platonic. It's really, you know, it's cool. It's platonic. Doesn't go, you know.
Yes, we should have disclaimed.
No, but it's platonic.
As opposed to the other women on Facebook?
But anyway, it was, you know, it's purely platonic and stuff like that. So I wrote her and I was listening to Flirting with Disaster about a month ago, and I go, I was thinking of you, and I go, I'm sorry. I go, I hope I didn't give you, like, haunting memories. And she goes, no, it's kind of funny and stuff like that, but it's like, you know.
No, it's cute when people sing learn. At you. If yeah. you're doing
not
it.
Not when I'm doing it. That sounds terrible. Make it stop. Throw a shoe at him like he's an alley cat. Oh, wait, Felix, come on in. Sing some more. Meow, meow, meow.
Who's a good little kitty?
Who's a kitty?
Who's a good little kitty?
Who's a kitty kitty?
Now we have a song. Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah. There you go.
Do you have any of these?
I don't have song. I've never had a song with somebody that we go, oh, that's our song. Mm. But, I mean, I have songs that definitely have strong associations with one person or another.
But do they know?
No.
Were the songs prophetic?
No.
So I'm the only one who has, like, prophetic songs.
No, I don't think that I'm romantic in that sense because a lot of romantic songs really bother me.
There's that antisocial behavior.
I'm not, like, a really girly girl in that sense.
You're not really a girly girl, which is why we love you on this show.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
If you were girly girly, sure, it's fun for Bukkake, but we don't want to get talking on the mic.
You would have ran out of here mortified her in the first time you went.
If she was a girly girl, I never would have invited her in to do a show with me.
But that probably would have been problematic.
Yeah.
But there is a song, like, every time I hear Freeze Frame reminds me of this girl that I dated when I got back from being a lumberjack, this girl, Gail. And,
now is the Lumberjack song by Jackal, is that song for yourself?
Yeah. That's a good tune. But, you know, so every time I hear that song, yeah, every time I hear that song, I think of her. You know?
Well, I mean, there was a Prince song, When Doves Cry, that this guy, also turned out to be gay, that I was good friends
Prince
with.
Prince isn't gay.
No. I mean,
oh, just you being the gay maker.
I'm the gay maker.
Never
finished
that song.
He was a friend who, you know, I wanted it to be more, but obviously that there were problems that I wasn't aware of at the time. But, you know.
Gay.
Yeah,
he's gay.
He's gay. Gay. He's got the gay. Let's go shopping.
I remember we were at some party and that song was playing, and so we were doing stupid stuff, like trying to act it out, and that's the kind of sense of humor that we had together. But, I mean, I also have this one guy that I was seeing. It was at the same time that the Tom Tom Club came out with that, my boyfriend, with my boyfriend, my nanny boyfriend. I don't have no idea what they were singing about.
Yeah, but see, this is why when I give you show prep, I could have gotten this and we could all hear it.
I know, but I wasn't you know what? I didn't think about this because you were saying specifically, did you have a song with anybody? And I don't do that. Every time I hear the Ramones, of course, I think of Mr. Helix because it's his favorite band. And, you know, there's different people that a song will put it right in my hat. like will remind me of them. But the song has absolutely nothing to do with what I thought of our relationship. Or
yeah.
It was just a, like, I hear Joe Walsh, Life's Been Good to Me So Far, and I'm instantly transported back to being on the boardwalk during a certain summer.
Yeah.
Because it was everywhere.
DJ texts me, and, geez, I hope this isn't prophetic of his relationships. But I just checked my phone. He goes, Stings, I'm sending out an SOS. Really, DJ? Is that the relationships you're having?
Ouch.
Who's sending out the SOS? You or the victim that's in your trunk, you creep. That's kind of scary.
I have one scary word for you. Chloroform.
Mm.
They didn't make a song called Chloroform, but they
should have. No, they didn't. That would be a great song.
Would it?
Yes, it would.
Anyway, I think I'd probably sleep through it.
In my dark, scary dreams.
In your dark, scary dreams.
Yes. I don't think we've... I mean, Mr. Hillux and I don't have a song.
What would you dance to at the wedding?
We didn't.
Like, I'm just...
Jeez, that must have been fun. Even
No, because he was in four bands at the time, and he's the drummer in all four bands, so the bands played.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Rock.
So neither of us...
You made him work.
Yeah, I made him work all night. So I went socialized, and but I don't dance. So and so that was fine.
I know some people wrote in on our Davin's Den Facebook page. I'm just having a hard time finding the page because I had asked it over the weekend.
Oh, I see.
I'm having a hard time getting.
I get
what their favorites.
What their song was with other people. Yeah. So
I get a kick when we do the scammer segment and we play the theme song to the scammer segment, Always and Forever, which was my wedding song.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
That was my wedding song.
And that's what you used for the romantic song?
And then
breaks into a jungle rhythm?
All right, here we go. Teresa wrote in Baby, I Love You by Andy Kim.
I don't think I know that song. Do you? Do you?
No.
And Lisa wrote in Save a Prayer by Duran Duran and The Power of Love by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Still loves these tunes.
I don't remember
that. Save a Prayer. I think that's good if you're dating a priest. I think if you're in one of those type of relationships.
Back with Papa Don't Preach. Sorry. Back in the barrel.
No.
Thank God you scrubbed the pickle juice out here. It was really stinking
the
up the joint for a while.
Does anybody in the chat have anything about that or no?
You know what? They're kind of going through this discussion about all different kinds of songs that they like, but I don't think that any of them have to do with any romances.
Hmm.
I hope not, because one of them is yelling about how much they like the group Queen. Freddie Mercury is not going to be a romantic conquest for anybody, but not for
well,
you
Necrophiliac
here.
Might want to hit
I
that
chest.
All right, shall we take a break?
Yes.
Sure.
I know you got stuff. We'll do it next week.
What?
No, I know you have some stuff that you want to talk about.
Oh, yeah, no.
We'll do it
okay.
Next week, because we'll probably nothing's going to happen interesting for me this week.
That's fine.
So I know you got stuff, but we're running a little long, and I don't know how much over we can go tonight like we normally do. So let's we'll come back. I'll update everybody on the Ann Jackson thing. That was the anti-scammer who may be a scammer.
Yeah.
That type of thing. I'll take you guys through some of the conversations I am having with or had recently. And I'll tell you what set that up with one of Ghana's most notorious scammers.
That's creepy.
And then we'll try to do a little bit of visiting our girls in Africa. So
okay.
We got plenty more show.
Yeah.
We're going to play. We're not going to play music. We played enough music. We're going to play.
I blame it on the devil.
It is time for the Pork Duet! That is right. Pork Duet of Davin's Den. We are not tired. To roll to give you some more extra. So stick around with Davin and Pip and Joe as the party continues. There is no reason to leave. Sit down. Kick back. Take off your shoes. Phew. Phew. Okay. Okay. Put shoes back on. They stink. Okay. So what was I saying? Oh, yes. Stick around for extra because we are here at Davin's Den for Part 2.
And we are back. Of course, you are listening to the one and only Davin's Den. I am Davin Rosenblatt, as always, joined with Joe Curry, Pip.
Hello.
Woods.
Hello.
Before we went to break, we were talking about why comics are nuts. Then we talked about, well, we're nuts.
We talk about that every week.
And then I demonstrated how nuts I am by telling about the songs I dedicated to women.
And writing down every lyric from an Aerosmith tune, even the cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-chas.
I had a guy that went away to school. He did a semester or maybe a year school in Wales, and he used to write to me in Welsh, knowing full well that I don't read Welsh.
Well, if I'll tell you what, if I wanted to communicate with a woman who I didn't want her to know everything, I'd write in a foreign language, too.
Well, what is Welsh? I thought Welsh was English.
No, no, they have a completely different language.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do. And, I mean, most people in Wales, I don't want to say most.
Like Jonah?
like, well, what?
There's a rush to the finish on that one.
Oh, no.
Rush to the... Oh, I
take the easy one.
Silly, silly bastards. No, they have their own language, and I just thought it was really weird to me. I mean, he would write me things, but then he'd write all these things in make designs and write things and go in circles. And
maybe he had a spirograph.
Stuff. Yeah, I don't know what he was going on about. So, I mean, I'd like to find somebody who could read this crap and someday pull them out and go, what was he telling me? What was he telling me in the margins? It was the weirdest thing.
Mm. Well,
we had a twisted relationship. So.
Well, every relationship you're involved with is a little twisted.
Absolutely.
Speaking of twisted.
Yes.
Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about Ann Jackson, who was the notorious anti-scammer.
Yes.
Who may or may not be a scammer.
Right.
Mm. And I was talking to her, and we were learning things.
Yes.
I'm no longer talking to her.
Oh, and who's
talking? Didn't work out well, huh?
Whose choice was that? Was she listening to the show?
I don't know. We're no more. I am no longer talking to her. I am no longer learning things.
I see that you summed that up very nicely, a little compact little bag.
What song did you send her?
what was your song with her?
Cat Scratch Fever.
There you go. Yeah, funny.
Because she's Asian, so I figured. Anyway. They eat cats. Long way to go for that. I had to try to tie that together. Wow.
Can you get out of the barrel, Jeb? Because you got to make room for Davin.
Looks
right
like
now.
I got company. Ding dong. Ding dong. Somebody's
so,
at the barrel.
Now, was this something like you wrote to her and you're getting no reply?
No. I've responded to her a couple times.
Right.
Because she said she was sick.
Yeah, right.
I wanted to see how she was. And then I might have responded one more time, and I have not heard back. So a couple things possibly could happen. Now, I should also point out that... as was mentioned earlier, as far as I can tell, all of her blogs are set to private.
Right.
So she can't get people that way. And as far as I can tell, her videos are pretty much offline. I might be wrong on this. I did a fairly brief check on everything today. I mean, some of our listeners might, you know, have done more investigation.
Dennis said that they were set to private so that you can't see them, but they're still there.
Yeah.
But what about the videos? I know that about the blog.
No, they meant those.
All right, so everything's set to private.
Yeah.
So she's like a little turtle.
So she's hiding.
No, set to private. What, only certain people? I'm assuming only certain people could see it?
I guess so. Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to scam new people, it's kind of hard to do that.
If they
when
can't
set
find
for private, right.
Right. So, what does this mean? Because she never really gave me what I was asking for. Yet, as soon as I started saying you need to take those down,
right.
This stuff came down.
Right.
Did we have an influence? I don't know.
Yeah.
I also wanted her to make that video and that blog apologizing. She didn't do that. So with her disappearance, gut feeling. Think she was an active scammer? Think those threats that she was worried about finally got to her? Do you think she was part of the syndicate and they just said, listen, we better move on. We'll create a new character? Or do you think she just got so scared and was a legitimate woman and disappeared?
You know what? Any one of those theories is, without any other information, is valid as a theory, you know? I mean, if... now
I can make shit up.
Well, you know, I mean, I've, in a limited way, I've seen how sometimes newspapers and reporters will take one tidbit of information and skew it to fit their story. So if this was...
I think
was
they did that with Avalos, the mob.
Well, you know, a legitimate person... could have their reputation smeared just by having somebody take what information they have and theorize and just like only add in the bits that
let
fit
me let me
theory.
Tell you in this but, segment of the anti-scamming community there yes. are people that are quick to smear.
Yeah,
there are
yes.
people there have been times I go, well, I'll have to go to people and go, well, that really doesn't prove anything. That's not really conclusive evidence that, you know, two people happen to be in the same place at the same time, for instance, does not mean they're actively conspiring or working together.
Right.
So there is, and it's, you know, the anti-scamming community is just a segment of society. There are those that are quick to rush to judgment. I have not rushed to judgment on this. That being said, she didn't give me what I asked. Like, I never got those the full email address headers that I wanted to trace them back, although others have gotten them. Mm-hmm. I think they got them on from talking with them. I specifically asked her for that. I never got the original emails that I asked for. I kind of feel like she was part of this just from the interview that we had with the alleged victim and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and listen, if she contacts me, I might change my opinion.
Right.
I kind of feel like she was part of this, and they just decide the jig is up. I think there's a chance that she'll resurface again under another name, and I'm pretty sure if she does do that, because they were getting money this way, theoretically, if she does do that, there are people in the anti-scamming community that will find them.
That will sniff her out,
yeah. I mean, it's not me. I'm not going to do it. But if it comes up again, I will certainly press on and try to narrow it down.
Well, you know, Morgan in the chat makes a good point. If she was legit, she had the opportunity to come forward with you.
Nobody wants to come on this show. We ask them questions that aren't about them.
Okay.
She lit.
I thought it was really weird. He didn't even know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know that part of the brain. What are you talking about, woman?
I know. It's like, he goes, well, it's in the brain. I'm like, yeah.
He got more vague than us.
I know. It's like, I did some research.
He's a scammer. Ouch, that professor. I will not send you money for this study.
Well, I wanted to know where Marianne Gilligan was in the chat.
What? The professor?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they were there.
Well, we try to do enlightened shit. Don't worry. I'll have orgasmic, where you have to guess the orgasm's name, that orgasm soon. We'll have Nazi love letters coming right around the corner.
We'll be back to your level soon.
Exactly. Once in a while, you know, you got to realize, we've been endorsed by the army. It can't be all the filth that you people push us to.
Penis. There you go.
Things I Love.
Things I Love by P. Pitt. P. Pitt.
Joe had something to say.
No, I was thinking, my opinion of this woman last week was I still had the benefit of the doubt that if she was involved. However, in the chat, you might have noticed the last week, Pip, very scathing. The chat room was having none of it.
Program to hate.
we talked about it.
From what, you know,
usually pointed at us.
From what they were saying.
I'm going to let you finish.
All right.
But I want to say, a lot of those people in the chat, at least I should say, a decent amount of those people in the chat, had an opinion about this particular person before we did anything. So... But go on, right. Joe.
But I think he also had other experiences and other dealings and other things that they knew or saw that
we don't,
which led to more of a harsh criticism than we had.
But it doesn't work for a show if the host is criticizing and then trying to actually learn stuff. I mean, it doesn't really work as far as us learning things if I'm quick to rush to judgment.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. And like I said, even as a co-host sitting here, I still, from the information that we have... There's still that benefit of the doubt if she was involved with them.
Listen, I don't know 100% conclusive. I was leaning towards that she was more than an innocent victim. I was leaning towards that just because of the thing that happened with our alleged victim, Renee,
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Right.
But
yeah,
I was still giving the benefit of the doubt. The fact that she disappears without a sign.
Looks suspicious.
That, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, if you see somebody running away from the scene of a crime, yeah, they might have other
that's him, man.
Legitimate reasons for running. But it usually looks, that's the perp, you know?
Yeah, right.
You will tackle that person and pummel them
before
you realize.
Well, even in a rational way, if you grab that person, you would try to get all the information.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they were going to tow my car down the street and I saw the tow truck. You know, and then you go, really, really? But if you find out, if you look at the records and there was a tow truck that, you know, the cops had that was towing cars and his car was down, well, maybe.
It's like, okay.
But that's after getting all the information and making the decision, which we don't, you know,
so
us personally don't have that, all that information yet.
Is it safe to say that we were all leaning towards more active scammer? We're all leaning towards more active scammer, but if she does come back, we will give her the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, it just for the simple fact that you brought up the conversation with the woman, Renee.
Well, that was very enlightening.
That was very enlightening. So there was a lot. There was a lot of signs there, red herrings on that one.
Well, the chat is still anti because.
Very scathing, I'm sure.
Very scathing, I'm sure. For a change, it's not us. They're scathing.
Well, one person said that they were pro AJ for some time, and when I found out and heard from a Vic, it confirmed it for me.
Well, we got to remember these people were like emotionally involved.
Sure.
With the AJ because they were she was held up as like a beacon of like so, right. somebody who's fighting the good fight. Us never had that illusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were never emotionally invested with her.
Right.
So we never had any expectations of her. Mm-hmm. We were able to look at it a little bit from a step back and go, all right, these are the facts.
Well, let me put it this way. Everybody looks at Angelina Jolie like, oh, look at her. She adopts all these kids. She goes and does all these, missions.
No,
and she does
no,
all this.
No.
No?
No. When I look at her, I go, those lips would be good for a blowjob.
Okay, well, there's that thought, too.
I mean, I don't think about the kids first thing.
He's got a point.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know what you're talking about, Helix.
Well, Joe had this, those are some nice cans look on his face.
Yeah, but, nobody gives a shit about the kids.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. other
her
people,
and Brad worry about it. Well, not like lips.
Exactly.
Other people,
we think about she made out with her brother. That's kind of icky.
Oh, yeah. Think about where those lips may have been.
Well, they're going to be from the lips to my penis. I'm okay.
No,
I'm not going to kiss her after a snowball. We'll be fine.
So you
got a role play now, don't you?
So you won't go
yes.
ass to mouth. So you won't go ass to mouth, but you'll go brother to penis.
Well, that doesn't sound right.
What would be your song?
What would be our song?
Wait, I was going there with something. So she's held up. As
now I
want to
go check my CDs. Joe's completely distracted me. Pivot the point. Quite frankly, I don't give a shit. I just want to go and see what a song can be. I want something funny now.
All right, now he's going to go to lyrics.com and try to write down all the words. Thanks,
show's
Joe.
Canceled. Nice. I got homework. Angelina's waiting for my loose leaf writing.
Oh, yes.
She won't think I'm crazy.
My loose leaf writing? Yeah, because what else would you write that shit on?
Don't rip off the little
it's
frayed edges.
Made for loose leaf. Shit's made for loose leaf.
Kind of like our show.
Yeah, you could type that out or write it in parchment.
It was
1990,
stupid.
Well, I never.
And you won't. All right, Helix, get to your cockababy point.
All right, my point was people hold her up because she's great to kids. She adopts.
She's light.
Da, da, da. Now, if Joe and I boiled babies and ate them like a stew, nobody would think anything of it. But if Angelina Jolie turned out to be
I think there'd be some concern.
Babies,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe somebody wants the recipe. I don't know.
I think there'd be some personnel changes on the show. I got to be honest with you.
Okay, one spoken for. But I mean, like, she's
I don't really know if you're coming to the studio to see my kid or anything like that. I think pretty much the show's taking a different turn, and I'm getting new fans. Trucker Tom is the new number two Mike.
Yeah.
At least he's not a baby boiler.
Just make sure there's not a cauldron in the sleeper and he can come on in.
You know what? Good point. He likes to cook in that stupid truck. He's out too.
Where do you think the recipe?
Off.
Joe, are you disturbed that she immediately went from like adopting kids to boiling them?
And she
threw you in.
That's the problem, yeah.
Not that she's going to boil kids, that she's thinking you're going to help.
Yeah.
Okay. So she boils kids on her own, you're fine.
Well, yeah, yeah,
you're not
you know.
Be my sous chef.
No, from that.
Do you think they are veal?
Tastes like chicken.
I like the way she wants me to associate myself with boiling children, and I won't. And I've got nerve.
Yeah, she's like pissed off at you.
I know, really.
All right, go on with this increasingly stupid point.
All right, she's somebody that.
Excuse me while I go look at my CDs.
Yes, okay. Go ahead. Entertain yourself. I don't mean that way. Put that away.
Couldn't help myself. You're not going to boil it like a child, are you?
Could be.
Oh, yum.
But the way
why
I caught him.
Mr. Helix sings so high?
That's the way I caught him off. What would you and her song be? Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then he started thinking about
Jesus
it.
Christ, I don't know.
There's like 600 CDs there and a whole bunch of cassettes behind it.
And all of them Aerosmith.
I'll tell you what, it would not be. Funny. It would not be Wait by White Lion because I would not be able to.
Okay.
Go on. It was a stretch. No, that was all I could think of.
That's okay. But what I'm saying is somebody's held up on a pedestal because they like children and they take care of them. They do a lot of charity and everything regarding them. If she turns out to be a baby boiler, the fall from grace is so much bigger than if just a couple of reprobates like me and Joe do.
I got to tell you, that is the most heinous metaphor I have ever heard.
Thank you.
But a baby boiler.
A baby boiler.
Baby boiler.
you, baby boiler. Now call somebody that you hate that tomorrow and see what their face looks what like. What?
Probably of like, wow. What? But it's
her
funny.
Kid song to Angelina B? If, they, if she boy the mama, we're all crazy now? I'm just like looking at the albums I have like behind Joe as I stare off with this. You guys amuse yourself with the show.
That guy drops all the, his whole agenda because he wants to find a stupid song.
The chat says, I'm sure the professor's hard at work writing all his notes on this show oh. so he can publish any study.
Yeah, really? What a creep you are, Helix.
Duh. New here?
Noted. Point taken. I just did not realize the level of the creepiness.
Listen, that's why you kept pointing at me when you were talking about this psycho study.
Yeah, but you don't usually let a show like that.
I know. I told you the veil is thin tonight.
I mean, I know my people were the Christ killer. I didn't know your people were the baby boilers.
Yeah, usually you don't miss come cool and collected. You get throwing you kids into a pot and cooking
you know
them
what?
Up.
I like the way last week's show was. From now on, you do it from your place.
We don't I knew it. Excellent. Show in jammies. No. I love it.
Like you're not now.
I
nice thong.
I dress for you.
Or undress for me. All right. So are we done with her, Ann Jackson?
Yeah.
Joe?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move on. So December 31st, New Year's Eve. My Ghanaian friend and I are Facebook chatting and everything. Mm. And he strongly believes in the power of the juju, the black
oh,
magic,
yeah, yeah.
the black arts, if you will. And I'm not being racist for a change.
Right.
But so he strongly believes. So he feels that if somebody did juju to me, I would give them my money. And I'm like, there's no way. Anybody could do juju. You could do all the juju you want, because I'll take this Jew versus your juju.
Jew beats juju every time.
Exactly.
Right.
Because I'm not parting with my money. It's not going to work. Long story short, unless I know, I'll string for pizza. But
thank you.
Thank you very much, by the way.
But yeah. I know you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not.
Not as well as you thought.
Clearly not. Give me back the pizza.
I see that, yeah.
So we come up with this bet. Me and this guy, because he knows, my friend knows, one of the most notorious scammers in all of Ghana. Millions and millions and millions of dollars he's gotten, he claims, I don't know. 15 years this guy's been scamming. Everybody knows this guy. And we know that there is the cultural underbelly
sure.
in this country that holds these people up to mm-hmm. high esteem. So we come up with the bet. The bet is twofold. What's the matter? You were looking.
No, you know what? I glanced down at the chat for a second. And there's some crazy stuff going on in the chat, as much as going on the show, believe
it
or not.
Does it have anything to do with what we're talking about?
A little bit. I looked down and it said, they get stuck in my teeth, but I love them. I thought they were talking about boiled babies again. They're talking about jujubes. Thank God.
Gotcha.
Joe, I like when you handle the chat. All right. So here was my bet. It was a two-part bet. First, the bet with me and my friend. And this is where the Den Pen... My co-host would be very excited about this. If he loses, he eats a bowl of dog food. So if I send my money... Oh, this guy's also a notorious hacker.
Oh.
A notorious hacker. So that's one of the things. He can't hack me. No hacking. He's got a scam and he's got a juju. That's what he can do.
Okay.
No computer hacking. That's okay. My thing. Because I don't need to mess with that. That's some juju
no,
I believe in.
No, that's juju I do believe in.
Exactly. So if he loses, if I can go the whole month, I have the whole month. It's all of January. Without me sending any money to this guy,
right?
To this notorious anti-scammer, he eats dog food.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry, a notorious scammer, right?
Yeah, okay. I said it. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, notorious scammer.
I got confused.
Yeah, so if I can go the whole month without giving my hard-earned money and jogging down to Western Union, and sending,
not happening.
Well, he does have the dark arts on his side. Now, if I lose, I eat a whole bowl of dog food. But this is where I think, look at Joe's got that gleam in his eye, like all of a sudden he's rooting against me.
Morgane is ralphing in the chat. Yes, I know, I'm feeling your pain too.
And of course, videos would accompany and everything.
Mm-hmm. A whole bowl of dog food.
That's how strongly I felt about this.
God, this pizza doesn't smell good anymore.
So that was part one of the bet.
Right.
Me versus him. Then I had another agreement that he was, because he was making all the arrangements, because I don't know this person.
Right.
He has another agreement with the scammer that if he beats me, besides me sending all my money, or my money, however much it is,
right.
If he can scam me and juju me, I send my money, I will come on this show and tell all of the world that juju's real. That I got, that I guess I'm a known anti-scammer at this point.
Right.
I guess I'm one of the ones that's more well-known at this point in our show. So that I would go on the air and say, because my friend believes.
Okay.
Juju's real. It got me. That I'd go on the air.
When was the starting point of
January 1st.
Okay. And it's for a whole month.
For the whole month. So but I'll get there.
All right.
If he loses, if the scammer loses.
Yeah.
He has to stop scamming.
Ooh.
Has to stop scamming. He has to come clean to some of his current victims.
I'm liking this.
And send money back. And
whoa.
And lead a good normal life. Because this guy's a hacker. He knows computers and stuff. He's not a dumb guy, I'm guessing.
Right, but given what we already know about what his chosen profession is, do we think he would be honorable enough to honor this?
I mean, listen, you can only go by somebody's word.
Right.
You got to remember, though, you got two people who are coming at each other with no BS. You know, it's not like he's trying to fool me or I'm trying to fool him. You bring the black magic and your scamming abilities, and I bring my inability to part with a dollar.
Has he met fake Davin?
but this is real Davin.
I know.
This is not fake Davin.
It's like the devil went down to Georgia with scammers.
Sorry. So what are you guys' thoughts about that?
Can you trust this guy?
Well, he's a scammer, Joe. How could I not? And a hacker.
Yeah, it's
the hacking makes the hackles go up on the back of my neck. I mean, that's more scary to me than any juju.
Yeah, let's say you win and he's got to do that. You really think he's going to do that?
Is he a man of his word? I don't know. I don't know. But you also got to remember, probably nobody's ever come at him like, bring it on.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
I just, you know what? I think that powers, if you have somebody who's vulnerable, I mean, we've seen this and we've heard these stories over and over again. I can see them using their powers of persuasion. I don't believe in the juju.
They do.
Yeah.
Oh, but, yeah. But you know, very much so there. Yeah.
But you know what? And I've argued this before. Believing in the juju is no different than believing Jonah was inside the belly of a whale. Jesus Christ walked on water. Moses parted the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. God is coming to save us all. It's all the same thing. It's all a belief in the supernatural. And those who believe in the juju would say, well, hey, we see tangible results. At least you could make that argument. Right. Nobody here has ever, you know, we're all waiting for that miracle. And, you know, nobody's seen a burning bush unless it's a redhead with crabs. So, yeah, man.
Hey.
So it's the same thing.
No,
but I'm saying the belief.
Parting the Red Sea.
So I don't look at their belief as any different than a Catholic's or a Jew's or a Muslim's belief in their belief in the supernatural. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the supernatural.
And talking about quasi-religious, or to them, I maybe religious belief that they have that power, and that power can persuade people to give them things that they want.
Yeah.
Okay. Believing, I understand that they believe that. I don't think I don't think Juju will win over the Jew.
Joe?
I think the Jew will beat Juju.
That my team is behind me. Now, knowing the fact that I might have to eat dog food. Are you rooting for me to lose?
No.
Ask the question.
See, this is the conundrum for the audience, because we know our fans and you guys love when I'm on the short end of the stick.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't happen very often, thankfully. But we know. But on the other hand, I'm doing good with my bet with the scammer, if he holds up to it, and that he's going to stop.
Yeah.
So where do you guys feel? How do you guys feel about that? So are you rooting for me, or are you rooting for him so we eat dog food?
Rooting for you, as much as I'd like to see the dog food go down, I'm rooting for you because I think that that's the better of the two.
Joe?
I would be rooting, yeah, believe me, I'd love you to see you snacking on some kennel ration.
Is that the one that makes its own gravy?
No, that was Chuck Wagon.
Chuck Wagon.
Know your dog food, woman.
Yes, no, this is one of Joe's areas of expertise.
Unfortunately.
Connoisseur. But for the show's sake, I'd like to see you win.
For the show's sake.
But personally?
Anything in the chat that I need to address, or shall we go on?
Well, Morgan would love to see you snack down on some dog food, but she'd bet on you. And rooting for Davin. Milk bones are actually good for your teeth. Okay.
No. This is wet dog food. This is the nasty stuff. We're doing the wet stuff. You know, the things that I have Joe, Pimp, and Morgane eat.
They are going off on a tangent about ladies with a burning bush. But
glad I could inspire that.
Yes, I am too.
I would really like some of the people in the chat room to have names that pertain to the show. Like at one point we came up with like a spunk monk. I remember that one.
What?
I think it might have been at the compound.
Oh my god! No, that would be funny. But no, so they have their own colorful.
This is true. All
names.
Right. All right. So a couple of weeks go by, and I have not heard. And I'm talking to my friend, like, "What's up with your boy? When's he, come on, bring it."
Yeah, when's he gonna start this? He doesn't have much time to juju.
Clock is ticking. Clock is ticking. Oh, he's in town, ba ba ba. All right, fine. So, January 17th, I am I'm running a show for Side Splitting Productions, a comedy show. So I got my phone.
Right.
And this guy's first name is Kevin. I see I have a new friend request.
Oh.
I accept Kevin. We start talking while I'm supposed to be paying attention to a show. Now, I was not smart about this. There are precautions you can take on Facebook to isolate people so they can't see everything. Like, they can't see, like, your personal stuff and everything. And somebody had told me how to do it, and I meant to do it.
Right.
But I instinctually accepted on the phone because I was waiting for this, and I don't have enough command of my phone to know how to
fly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm, like, half listening to the comedy show. I'm talking to this guy over here. So this is our first transmission, 9:12 p.m. on two Fridays ago. This is Kevin. Hello, Sir Davin. It is a pleasure meeting you. I have heard about you and your constant effort to destroy our living. I mean scamming. This is just the beginning for your information, that scam shit. It is died. We've upgraded to a different form and more powerful than before. It can't be stopped. It's a disease, just like corruptions. The more you try, the better it changes for us. My only prayer is that you don't dig in too much of what you don't know, because it might attract death. We don't need a weapon to kill you. It can be done right from here. I mean our home. Your rumor about Ghana is a fantasy. Ghana's not a fraud country. We don't do scam. Ghana's a peaceful country that the United Kingdom, where you live, are rather the people we consider the scam or thieves. If you didn't do it, your fathers did so before you. Start a story. Go back to your past. Those who can't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So this is a nice hello.
But a cordial greeting.
Yes, well, and my people of England.
Yeah, I just saw it, yeah.
I didn't catch that initially.
Your lordship.
But it was quite the opening missive.
Mm. Oh, yes.
kind of intimidating.
Mm.
Well, he's wishing death on you, because that's...
Well, he's wishing death.
Yeah.
Usually people know me before that happens.
Yeah.
Joe does it every ride home after the show. Sometimes on the way to the show.
Sometimes during the show. But
told you he had our cars bugged.
Yeah, right.
So what do you think of that?
Right out of the gate. I mean, him, and he's saying some interesting and sort of scary things, that they've moved on from scamming and they have a better scam, if you will,
right,
more than the scam that we know. And he hopes you don't look into it because he can kill you from where he sits. Jesus.
He's coming out with his A game right out of the bat.
This is different than the normal interactions with scammers that most people have.
Yeah, because he's not...
Where's my poetry?
He's not lovey-doveying you.
No.
He's using scary juju.
He's not even asking for a computer.
Yeah, really.
All right. So I go, "Hi, Kevin. Did you just threaten me with death?"
And a fine how.
I'm just asking.
And a fine day to you too, sir.
He goes, "I didn't. It was a good reason for you to understand what juju can do is more power than you think."
That wasn't okay.
Okay. I go. "I am aware of what some believe juju can do."
What can juju do for you today?
He goes, "I heard you ready to put up a bet." I go, "That is correct." He goes, "Okay, I want to hear your conditions. I have no time to waste. I'm a busy man." I go, "Didn't our mutual friend tell you?" Because he's setting this up.
Yeah.
"Yes, he did, but it's not fair on my side. I want a better side, because I'm the one wasting my time chatting with you. Everything involves money, even my internet bills. The juju payment, all that is my cost. I need better side, then I can proceed to show you what we say juju is."
Need a better side?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
He doesn't like the times.
Oh, all right.
So I go, How do you think I responded? What do you think? How do you think real Davin responded to this? Because I'm not playing a character now. I'm all. He knows who I am, which is a problem because I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Because he's coming at me with clearly a fake profile.
Right.
So I don't. So he's got the upper hand.
Yeah.
So what? How do you think I responded?
Don't hurt me.
It's a good guess.
You'd probably bring it.
I go. I care not if we proceed. I was told you already agreed.
Oh, okay.
He goes, I have no time to waste. If you're ready to proceed with business, let our mutual guy know. I agree with my African juju, not you. I believe and have seen what it can do. I was told you agreed to the terms already. He goes, yes, I agree, but I need money to start my side here. If you are ready to see what juju can do, $300 will be nothing to you. I am the money type. Money makes me happy. So I go in caps. I go, I'm not sending you a dime.
Juju, Jew.
Is that
that those?
Is that two, mate checkmate? Juju, Jew.
That's like that's it's like Juju, Jew.
So how do you think? How do you like the way I'm handling this so far?
Juju, Jew.
You know what? That's good. I mean, you have to show him your pimp hand because he's starting out strong. Right back at you, babe.
He goes, I don't have time to chat with people who will not bring me money. I go, your juju is supposed to make me willingly give you my money.
Nice. Nice.
He goes, this is business. Even if you want, I can bring it down for you. I will take the risk here. Juju can do everything, but it's not for free. We pay for it. I go, the bet is you make me want to willingly give you my money. He goes, the time I am wasting chatting with you can't be pay.
Can't be pay.
So I go, so then I guess you need to invest in me.
Oh.
He goes, you are looking for a way you can make news with this story. We are also looking for a way we can prove it to the world. I go, you get my money with juju and no hacking, I will tell the world. Quite the prize for you.
Yeah.
He goes, it's not done that way. I go, it is if you want my time.
Yeah. Hey, my time's precious too, babe.
Exactly. Remember, this is one of the, like this is what I'm told. No reason why this guy would lie. One of Ghana's most notorious scammers.
Well, he is coming off like a businessman.
Go mano y mano.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm one of the most prominent anti-scammers. I'm your Ann Jackson, bitches.
Hey, you arranged to sit down.
Like I told the rabbi, don't look when you make the payment. So I go, it is if you want my time. He goes, if you want to know more and you are ready to dig inside out the story, contact me again. I go, it's not a matter of knowledge. He goes, I have no time to waste. I'm a businessman.
Ah, called it.
Touche.
I go, as am I. He goes, okay, what is it then? I go, what is what? He goes, it is not a matter of knowledge. I go, our friend thinks very highly of your ability. He believes. You walk away, he loses. He goes, yes, because he knows what it involves. I go, that's fine. You stay, I win. You go, I win.
Yeah.
He goes, no one gave you the information freely about his business. No, he goes, no one give you the information. He said gave and give. No one give you information freely about his business, meaning he's not going to give
his
information. I go, okay. He goes, I have no time to waste with you. If I knew you were not serious, I will not waste my time chatting with you. I go, so go. Our friend loses. It matters not. We are both busy people. He goes, I will never use my money for your news. I go, so go, Kevin. No hard feelings.
Yeah, really.
He goes, the time I'm wasting with you I can use for a better thing. I go, okay, so go scam somebody.
You know, I really don't need to be doing this right now. But I
It's like, okay, no, really, your time, my time is money. Alrighty then.
No, I'm very busy, very busy. Well, get lost then. Well, I can, yeah, I just...
And remember,
half an hour.
I'm only half paying attention to what I'm doing. Which is probably not the smartest way to conduct business with this man.
As the chat says, bye-bye, asshat.
What does the chat think of this? They like this?
Yeah, they're enjoying it. Okay. Duct Tape Deep is coming up with new and unusual punishments for this guy.
Okay.
Oh, my.
He goes, I'm always around. Contact if you need me. For your information, I have tracked your IP and home address. Thanks for the chat. Okay, interesting thing.
Okay.
I see that. That's very startling.
Yeah, that is.
That's because this is the hacking thing coming into play.
Yeah.
That being said, my computer shut off and I'm talking on my cell phone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's like, so, yeah, you see my IP to my phone.
Yeah, no, you don't. And I'm not I'm not even in the same state where I live.
Yeah,
yeah.
But still, very rattling. A nice tactic by him.
Mm. No, it was a nice ploy. But the thing was that somebody who didn't understand enough about technology would go, "Oh my God, it's going to wreck my phone."
Yeah, this guy's got a higher game than what we're used to dealing with. Yeah. Every time I deal with this scammer, it's got a higher level.
I know.
I'm dealing with the best.
Well, now you're dealing with upper management.
I think I'm dealing with the boss.
Yeah.
It's about time I get the respect I deserve.
Always go to the top cleaner.
Exactly. People are finally recognizing our ability.
Yes.
I go, "I will tell him you bowed out." At the end of the month, he lost. And I go, "A pleasure." And then I go, "The agreement was no hacking," in response to this thing.
Right.
He goes, "Make sure you format your computer first thing tomorrow."
Oh, dick.
I go, "So you're not a man of your word?"
Oh, nice.
He goes, "And delete all bank emails and passwords." I go, "I just told you I am." But again, then he goes, "I just told you I am," like a man of his word. But again, this is threatening.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, there's doubt.
Yes.
Like, I know my computers are shut off at home. I know I'm talking with him on the phone. This guy, from what I'm told, is a really good hacker. I don't know all the ins and outs of technology. I probably know more than the average person does just because of my wife.
Yeah.
But this is the type of stuff that shakes you.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, Lisa says, "That's why you need Surf Easy on the phone." Absolutely.
So right, Lisa.
I know.
So right. Oh, I forgot to mention. Thank you. Oh, I didn't play the Scam Buster music. I'm so sorry. Thank you, Lisa, for bringing up Surf Easy. I should have said this earlier. Surf Easy is now sponsoring Scam Busters.
Awesome. Mm.
Yeah, so Surf Easy is back with us. They are sponsoring Scam Busters. And you know what? If you want to protect your identity and you want to ensure your anonymity on the internet, whether it be on your computer or your phone, Surf Easy is probably the best way to do it. You just go to surfeasy.com to learn more. But yeah, so Surf Easy is sponsoring Scam Busters from now on for a long time. So we're pretty happy to have them back on board. And Lisa's absolutely right. You know, and I was thinking about that. I'm like, I should put Surf Easy
on. I should put it on the phone.
I should put it on everything.
Yeah.
Because now I'm dealing with these people who know this is my real profile. I'm not a scam baiter.
Right.
So another mess up by me. So he tells me he is a man of his word. I go, "Then no hacking, no attempts. That was the agreement our friend told you that." He goes, "I'm always ready to chat if you're ready to pay the amount to prove your point about our juju." Then he goes, "Ha ha 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 ha. Okay."
Just like that?
Yeah. There's a lot of ha ha ha's. Then okay.
Really?
Okay. Want me to write it out for you?
No,
no, it's not a love song.
"I'm always ready to chat if you're ready to pay the money to point out that we have juju. This is your strong juju, dude. You're saying, give me the money?"
Well, they do have to pay for the juju, so he doesn't want to lay it out of his pocket. But...
So wait, you're supposed to pay for the juju that's going to work on you so that you'll pay him more money?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
That's ridiculous. Why didn't you get a Kickstarter or something like that?
Can we all pitch in for the Jew to get scammed? Joe Pony's up with like $50.
Oh my God, they're raising money like crazy in the den.
Yeah, right. Bastards, you. Funny, so you're not going to get punished, but you bastards, you.
They didn't. I said that.
Oh. You should be punished, Helix. Eat some dog food.
No. Better done that.
I have treated you with respect, and I would expect the same. And I have been very respectful. He goes, "No hacking, Mr. Davin." And then he goes, I go, "I have no point on juju. It is your belief, and I respect that." And that's true. I got no problem with him respecting it.
No.
He goes, "That is no respect, Mr. Man." That's all capitalized.
Mr. Man. Well, he told you.
He certainly did.
They all write the same over there.
They do.
He goes, "It's not just the belief. It's more to it. It is bigger than you think." I go, "That is what you believe."
Braggart.
I go, "That is what you believe. Must I share your beliefs?"
Yeah.
He goes, "No one plays with that." He goes, "No one plays with that kind of thing here." I go, "Okay, what am I not understanding about it?" He goes, "Okay, good. I'll be waiting for the money tomorrow to buy the juju stuff because I think you must be a rich man. Am I willing to prove to you that I can control you with my juju? Send it to our mutual friend."
You must be a rich man.
Must be.
You must be.
Look at those cassettes behind Joe.
Look at this palace.
I got some good Sammy Hagar over there.
Really?
What a beautiful marble palace this is.
It is. It's palatial. What's the matter, Joe? You look like you want to say something.
It's just that with the money, you know, even though it's a legit guy, it's the same pattern that we have with Agnes, you know, and Mavis and them.
Yeah, a different tactic for sure. Yeah. I mean, they didn't try to intimidate. They're like, oh, baby, baby.
But they do. Yeah. They do try to intimidate. I've never had a scammer.
Oh, he's very intimidating.
But they do use blackmail. I'll spread those pictures about you out.
Yeah,
start rumors. They do blackmail their marks.
Yeah.
I have just never had a scammer who wanted to go down that route with fake Davin, because it ends badly, but fake Davin's delightful. Look, Flory comes back for more and more.
I know.
Yeah.
Crazy bitch.
Sure. I go, you have already mentioned hacking me. Why should I continue? He goes, that is chicken change to you. This is not about hacking or scam. It's about the juju. The money you are sending for me to do juju on you. Why can't you write songs like that?
There's some circular references if I ever heard them.
I just find it ridiculous that he's asking for money to put a curse on you.
I know.
I go, he goes, I don't need your money. I have my own cash. I go, well, you have other people's money that they sent you.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
You said you weren't. You didn't talk nice with this guy. It was good.
Well, I mean, I'm polite.
Sort of.
Well, sort of. You know, listen, I'll raise the game, too.
Yeah.
I'm still laughing. It's like, I'm going to shoot you. Now, why don't you run down to the gun store and get me some hollow points?
Yeah. All right.
Well, why don't you give me some? No, let me a couple of bucks.
Well, Joe, in his defense, I need to learn what it feels like to get shot. And this is really the only way. He's not going to waste his bullets on me, Joe.
Yeah, really.
You want to experience the pain of being shot in the head? You must contribute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bullets don't grow on trees.
No, they certainly don't, Joe.
It's like, you're like, nah, I'm not going to fund you scamming me.
Yes, there's a failure to communicate.
Yeah, really.
So he goes, is the past, I have no intention to hack you. I go, good. Kevin, if we don't have our words, what do we have? Trying to, you know, our words.
Nice.
He goes, yes, but I'm not going to use that to do juju on you because that's my money. I go, Kevin, if I send you money, I lose the bet with our friend. I can't do that. Because the bet is I can't send this guy any money.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, the chat is suggesting you send Monopoly money.
But that's still sending money.
I really don't think this is the Monopoly money type of guy. I mean, with your average run-of-the-mill poetry writing scammer, sure.
Yeah.
Probably legal tender in Ghana.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that actually would be like, you know, here's our little red flag for you, Mr. Bull.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the guy still might be a hacker.
Yeah.
So let's play nice, kids.
Yeah.
Or I could give him your information. I'm sure he'll have a new boyfriend in no time. He goes, I need to know how serious your seriousness about this. I go, I'm talking and you are talking. We have the same level of seriousness. We are both busy people. He goes, no, if you send me money before juju, you have not lost. But after the juju, you have lost, and I will make money out of you. I go, no.
No.
If I send you any money this month, I lose.
Yeah.
He goes, after you send the money, I will give you 1 week to prepare myself with rituals.
It's going to anoint himself in oils.
I don't know what he's going to do.
Well, this
takes, time. Takes time.
So I go.
I have to get ready. I have to do a juice cleanse.
So I go. Negative. I go, perhaps you should move on and we part as friends. He goes, good, I like it that way. There was a lot of O's in there. Good, I like it that way.
But you want to know something? When they make it, when it's all legit, I'm a scammer, you're trying to, let's see what you can do, and it's like all laid out there, the things they want don't seem like that bright or that smart, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when he's just like laying it out there.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Agnes wanted the, a laptop computer. They lived in an orphanage. There was this whole story around it that made whatever they were asking interesting.
But we're not coming at that angle. And think about it.
Because it's stripped away. When you strip it down with all the nonsense and it's just cut and dry, you know, I'm trying to get your money. And the whole thing, send me money so I can put a curse on you. Okay, Mr. Scammer Guy.
And here's the thing.
Won't count.
I have never heard a story of anybody else doing this.
No.
Where it's just, from the beginning, nuts and bolts, here's your side, here's my side, let's bring it. Because there's always the dance, the scam baiting or the scamming. There's always the dance. We're both, like, showing our hands right now.
Yeah.
You want my money? And I'm like, you're not getting my money.
Yeah.
And here we are. So that it's like two Brahma bulls going at it.
Yeah, you're right. You cut to the chase. You're right there.
And I got a comedy show going on in the background. That really needs my attention.
What are you going to do during the comedy show? You know when they're winding up. You're not going to run out there and, you know, pitch him some lines in case he's failing. You could do this. Yeah. Right?
I don't know what you meant.
I don't know.
If the comic was eating it on stage, He could run out there and feed him some lines.
Oh, okay. Well, still, it's my show. I should pay attention.
All right.
So I go, okay, sir. He goes, but you will have to pay me for my time. You know I'm a man of money.
Yeah.
I go, and you have to pay for mine.
Yeah.
He goes, money makes me happy. And then I go to his, we are man.
Money makes me happy. Money makes me. Oh, you didn't say it that way.
Well,
it's a great, great sentence.
Yeah, he's running
out of West, running the Western Union right now.
He's very to the point. He's very to the point. So you got to like that.
So much to the point that it's just like the motive behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like with the other stuff.
I think we know
love.
The motive, Joe.
I know, but that the other motive is like love and a relationship and being together forever. This is the way he's putting the motive down. You send money, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So I can put a curse on you, really.
Strangely, I'm not moved to yet.
Yes.
He goes, money makes me happy. And he goes, when he said he was a man of money, I responded, I go, aren't we all?
Yeah.
He goes, I never asked for it. You did. I go, no, our friend did. He go, my friend promised me money. That was the way he got me into this.
Then ask him.
I go, I do not know why he did that. I'm sorry you were deceived, though it is ironic.
Yes.
Real David's a prick.
I like it, but there's no bullshit preconceived. It's like, I'm a scammer. I run a radio show. You know, game on, fucker, you know?
I do like the fact that he was deceived. It is ironic.
The guy lied to the scammer.
Both of them share an innocent laugh. You're right. All right, back to work. All right, now send me that $1,500.
Yeah, time out.
All right. He goes, okay, take it this way. I love money, and before I chat a useless person, I need it. The more we talk, the more.
Tell a useless person.
No, I guess so. My other people felt that way about me. He goes, I need it. The more we talk, the more I know you and read your mind. I go, I understand your position. Well, they say you are good. Good. So you have wasted my time. Of course, with the help of my juju. I go, I'm sorry you feel that way. So he goes, so who is going to pay me now? Either I take it from you or him. I go, not me. He goes, I have got no time to waste. I go, I never told him to promise you money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, okay, thanks for that info. He will pay me, and you will also pay. I go, Kevin, I am a man of my word. He goes, money is my factor. I go, is that a threat? He goes, bye for now. I go, see ya.
Yeah, he cut out just the same way, too.
No, there's no bye.
Bye.
I go, see ya. I go, but I believe we are done, as I will be sending you no money, sir.
Yeah.
He goes, and then he goes, I don't threaten. I go, so we both leave in peace, no worse for wear.
Yeah.
He goes, before you go, I need to ask you a question. I go, you can ask. He goes, how many hours do you work in that radio station in UK? What do you...
Boy's on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you do in your free time? I go, that information is expensive, Kevin.
Nice. Oh, he's trying... All right, let me just try one last psych move on him.
He goes, good. You have just wasted my free time. I need to waste yours, too. And that boy. I go, I have not wasted your time. You chose to chat with me. You did this, not I.
Yeah.
He goes, and then he starts, he posts a family member. He posts the name of a family member.
Yours?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's on my Facebook page because it's linked as a family member.
Right.
Still jarring.
Yeah.
Pace the DavinComedy.com website.
Uh-huh.
He's doing his research now. Still jarring, and I'm thinking, I really should have locked this shit down.
Yeah.
So how do you think I respond to this? I see the name of my wife's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I see my website. How do you think I respond?
Are you threatening me?
Joe?
I would say you're breaking the hacking rule.
I go, your point?
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. Yeah. He goes, my point is that. Then he puts my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all this is on my Facebook page. Then he puts my Facebook email address, which is, you know, not a real name.
Did he post your gigs? At least, you know, you could do that.
A little publicity. You're right, Joe.
What the hell,
a little help. You're right, Joe. Yeah. So I go, I'm thinking you're not a man of your word. He goes, my point is that I know your face. Then he sent a picture of me, my dad, and my daughter together.
Mm-hmm.
This is all coming through.
Creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's unnerving.
Yeah.
To be fair. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does.
This would freak out a lot of people.
Sure.
And still, it's in my head as this is going on.
Yeah.
But I also know this is stuff that if I would have locked it down...
He wouldn't have had.
Exactly.
Damn.
But still. And yeah. I don't know who this person is.
Right.
He's got the upper hand.
Right.
He's using the upper hand. Then he sent a picture of my daughter. Again, I don't put a lot of pictures up there, but there are some that I get tagged in and whatnot.
Wait a second now.
What? What?
I noticed on my Facebook that somebody was following me. I'm just going to look. Go ahead.
Is it Kevin?
I don't know. I just remember going, who's that? But, you know, it's like I do have some people that follow, and I assumed that I got them from the show.
You know? Might have.
I might have. Interesting. Right. Now Joe's going, oh, well,
that's exactly what I'm doing.
I guess you guys are a little afraid.
Well,
a little,
you know,
curious.
Curious now, because I'm like, all right.
I don't want to be turned into a chicken.
Too late. He goes, I am a man of my word. You people are not to be trusted. You are looking for a better side to destroy us. I think I'll remember you face when I see you in London.
Yeah, keep waiting.
I go,
and then he does says shit like that. You're like, well, maybe.
I go, my people.
My people.
I go, Kevin, I've been honest with you. I do not wish to destroy anything. Then I go, okay, see you around. Yeah. He goes, LOL, it's not a threat, my man. I will never threaten you. I go, so what was that then?
Yeah.
He goes, I'm a man of my word. Very decent.
Mm-hmm.
He's a decent man. I go, so we part in peace as we could not reach an agreement. He goes, no, I need money to complete my deal. Either I take it from you or him. I go, you were misled in what I agreed to. I never promised you money.
He's not one of them.
He goes, $300 is nothing to you, Mr. Man.
Mr. Man.
I go, it's the principal, sir.
That sounds like something that Dame from a 40s movie would say.
Yeah, Mr. Man.
Hey, Mr. Man.
Or a little girl. Hey, Mr. Man, want some candy?
No.
Then like, you boil him.
Like the mall, you know. Look, Mr. Man, you know, we could do a deal.
Nah, see?
He goes, okay, that's because you are greedy. I go, no, because this is not the deal I struck. He goes, the money is not my pocket. I have enough. I have my own house, cars, and whatever I need. I'm told he's very wealthy. I go, Kevin, you are busy, as am I. And then I go, good to hear. You know, about like having all that stuff. He goes, I need the money because you wasted my time, and we have to complete it. I go, we can't agree. He goes, the deal has to be complete. I'm willing to be the first to prove to the world Juju is real. I go, you can prove it without my money.
Yeah.
I go, this is your mission, not mine. I have to go. Been a pleasure. So, we will pick it up there next week.
Oh, my God. I feel like when you were getting rolled in Ghana.
What do you guys think? Is this unlike anything you guys have heard?
No, you know what? That is some creepy, hackery, stalkery shit right there. It is.
He's good.
Yeah, yeah, because he's saying, I'm not threatening you, but he is.
It is unnerving.
No, he is threatening you.
Yeah.
He can say all he wants that he's not, but...
Well, he's a man of his word. I mean, you know.
Yeah, no. I mean, actions speak louder than words, and so what he's doing is posting pictures of people and names and information that he's gathered to show you, look what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Just now I'm going to make you use your imagination to wonder what I'm going to do with it, you know? I mean, he could go and, you know, track you down in London, and
yeah, it's shit like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But, I don't know where he got that from. Yeah. You could see this guy is still a little bit more advanced than the average. You could see how he could freak out a woman or a guy. Because he was unnerving to me. It was unnerving, but because I knew I didn't protect myself properly.
Right. And you're just like, ah, kick, you know. Ugh.
Yeah, I should not have accepted him till I was at home and I could do everything properly.
Right.
So
right.
That was on me. Joe, what do you think?
Well, he's using all the tricks that he would use somebody that doesn't know the scammers that well.
Persistent right. Little booger, isn't he?
Persistent, yeah. and that would scare the, you know, the layperson.
Oh, yeah.
In effect, but it's not really working on there, you know. It doesn't seem like that big of a threat at this moment. You know, because you're calling his bluff on everything.
You like the way I've handled him so far?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Well, Dom's got a thicker skin than your you know, naive person
right.
who would see, and, oh, my God, he's got pictures of my children.
And that's what this gentleman is used to working with.
Yeah.
So for the fact that, I'll do that, fine.
But he was also told that I'm out to destroy them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, in a way, well, this is going to sound a little cocky, but what the hell? It's my show. It's my name. I'll fucking sound cocky. In a way, I kind of hold myself up to a higher level because I haven't been scammed. And we have gotten scammers to do things that people said could never, ever be done on this show. Now, I shouldn't get too cocky because I can be, you know, I don't know if I can be scammed, but I can be hacked.
Right.
You know, bad stuff can happen, so you got to treat the man with the amount of respect that that deserves.
True. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been very nice to him and everything, and it's true, man. I'm like, all right, we'll go. We're not going to do this bet. It's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's cool and everything. But I do see it as a test. Bring in one of your best. Because I haven't been fooled by any of these scammers, and a whole bunch of scammers have tried to come at me from a whole different angle. You guys don't even know all the scammers I've dealt with. We'll get to those later on when we get through all the Belinda stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Morgan says, hopefully he doesn't get more information from your quote-unquote friend. So
that's another thing that's unnerving.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how much is my friend feeding him? Because he's got the interest of winning that bet.
Yeah, but, I mean, he'd feed you to a scammer... Like, information he knows he would use against you?
It's possible. How do I really know him? I know him from the internet.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Not the smartest thing I've ever done. I've put myself at a disadvantage.
Right.
I put myself at a disadvantage because I'm using my real profile.
Right.
I should have created a fake profile for this for him to contact me at. Mm. I'm always at a disadvantage because I am a public figure.
Right.
You can find stuff about me.
Right.
If you, most of the public is unaware of me, but still. You know, and that puts me at a greater disadvantage than your average scam baiter, for instance. Because an average scam baiter can hide.
Yeah.
Because by day, they're not doing things to reveal, to deal with their psychosis or psychotic behavior, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm out there all the time. I'm public. It's true. He could find me. Right. I'm easy enough to find.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy. He's good.
Yeah. I mean, he is creepy in the and good in the sense that I mean, his circular logic there would give me, like, go buy the gun so I can shoot you with it. You know, give me the money so I can get the juju so I can use it on you.
Yeah, that wasn't working on me.
But I don't understand even that whole sentence, you know, give me the money so I can do. Who in their right mind would pay to have somebody put a curse on you?
Because I think he's coming at the angle that I need this to be a huge story for the radio or something to prove to the world
that you need this for ratings or something.
But I've seen documentaries about the juju. I mean, I hate to say it, Western Africa, it's your thing, it ain't mine. Hell, I've already scared some of your best by telling them I know the voodoo.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you guys got to realize I'm not your average Mark. It doesn't mean I don't have a healthy respect for your ability to steal money from people.
Oh, yeah.
And to be prophetic hackers, I wish you would use it for good, unlike the NSA, which uses it for evil. But, you know, I wish you would use it for good. But if you're coming at me with straight hacking and juju, I'm not moved. I'm not moved because I've seen every one of you guys come a mile away.
Right, right.
You know, and Agnes / Belinda's better than most.
Yeah, and that's not great.
No, but because she'll lay her cards on the table sometimes and everything. Mm. I mean, Flory sucked, but that was a good starter scammer.
Well, the chat is behind you, and they also warn you don't send them any nude pics.
Ha, shit. Damn it. But in my defense, I do need the publicity. So if they could send those nude pics, if Kevin could send that to TMZ, this might really be a win for me.
Okay, wiener.
And anybody in the chat, if you'd like to see my penis, please, just ask. I'll be happy to show it.
You don't have to hack to get those pictures.
No, you just have to ask, really.
They're yours for the asking.
Penis, penis, penis.
Hey, that's my line.
And you know what the song with me and my penis is? You know what our song is?
What?
Detachable Penis.
Oh, I love that song.
Detachable penis.
I've heard that song.
Oh, it's a good song. It's on my phone. You can listen to it later.
It's great. Okay.
It's a good song. It's hilarious. You'd like it. It's about a penis that disappears, Joe. It can happen to anybody. Don't worry. He finds his penis in the end. So, you know, I don't mean to... Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. At least it had a happy ending.
Now, should we move on to our girls of Africa?
Yes.
Girls of Ghana?
Yes.
So we'll resume with Kevin next week.
Yeah.
You like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just say something before we continue?
No, it's going to ruin the talk show format.
No.
Yes, Joe.
So I don't want to butt in. You have to use a little... look to see the patterns as we go into this. Look to see the pattern you will see between him and his new adversary and him and the girls are going to be the same pattern of going back and forth, you know. Mm-hmm. Just ask, how are you? How are you? It's the same pattern.
See, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way, because with the scammers, when we're bullshitting each other,
yeah,
it's a little, even when they suck, it's a bit more nuanced. This is straight, give me the money.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't give me the money or I'm going to die. It's like, no, no, give me the money. And now I'm going to threaten you, but not threaten you.
But it's, it's right, that's there, but...
This is different. This is creepier.
It's a little creepy, but just that...
No, it's a lot creepier.
All right.
It is. But there, I see what Joe is saying, that there's a subtle pattern to it. He's like, oh, no, I'm not threatening you, but here's a picture of your family. I'm not threatening you, my friend. It's just that my time is money. So give me money so I can choose you.
Every time
you
said that, though, I'm like, oh, my time's money, too.
A lot of it is guilt, questioning, more guilt, more... It's a pattern. It's a cadence.
Let me ask you a question about what you're doing with your free time in the UK.
Don't! go back to the scammer filing cabinet. All right. So I thought that was a nice little introduction. We'll do more with that next week.
Yeah.
Thought it was a little different take on scamming the scammers. Wanted to give on Scambusters. Wanted to give people, because I don't think anybody's ever heard this before, what it's really like to go on with one of the best. I'm told it's one of the best. No reason to believe he's not. Mm. And just where there's no pretense. There's no fake soldier.
No bullshit, nothing. Right to the point.
Exactly. Let's go. And I'll tell you what. You joke and say it's not that much different. To me, it's more menacing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me,
yeah.
I always... Here's the difference. You know what? Here's probably why I perceive it this way. When I am being scammed or attempting to be scammed by a scammer, I have the upper hand.
Yes.
Because they don't know that I know it's a bunch of crap.
Right.
I, in this situation, do not have the upper hand because I stupidly invited him into my real profile, mm-hmm. and I'm talking to a fake profile. I don't have the higher ground.
Yeah.
So even when he has all these missteps, mm-hmm. I still know I screwed up. I'm better than this.
Well, another difference is that you're real dabbing in this, too. So the stakes are a little bit higher.
I'm the same dick, though.
Yeah.
But, yo, exactly.
Yeah, but the stakes are higher. So, yeah. I mean, if you say something to Agnes, she, you know, she says, goodbye, Mr. Dab. Who cares? This guy just popped up your daughter's picture, you know, all this information. So the stakes are a little higher on that. But the cadence and how they go about things are the same.
All right. Shall we do a little bit of our girls?
Yes.
All right. All right, let's want me to play it longer?
No, sorry, I just got into the dancing.
We wouldn't want to miss that. All right, let's go to March 13th. We'll start with Mavis.
Okay.
Where we last left me and Mavis, mm-hmm. Dick El Dorado's girlfriend, mm-hmm. or maybe not girlfriend anymore, who knows. I just told her, I just apologized to her for thinking that she was behind all this, that I now know, after talking to Mavis, that's Belinda behind all this. I've turned on my girl. Remember that, Joe?
Vaguely.
Now you'll remember it in a year when you go back.
Yeah.
Then I'll know it really well.
Exactly. So March 13th, she goes, hey, friend. I go, hi, pal, how are you?
Hi, pal.
Remember, I've gone from murder and wizard to hey, friend.
Murder and wizard.
Sleep really makes things get better and clearer. Are you a murderer? Are you a wizard? What are you? Are you going to murder me? Now we're hey, friend. She's good. I go, glad to hear it. Then I go, no question marks, oops, because I put glad to hear a question mark. And then she goes, LOL. I go, glad I can make you laugh. She goes, aw, smiley face. She goes, since we are friends, can I trust you? Trust.
Can you?
Of course, I don't have a show. I go, sure, I keep good secrets. She goes, there's this guy who wants us to meet. I go, you meet him? She goes, yeah. I go, okay, are you unsure of this or something? She goes, I think so. I go, why? She goes, her instinct. I go, trust your instincts. That being said, what is wrong with him to make you feel this way? She goes, nothing, but maybe it is because of my first time meeting someone in another country. I go, he asked you to go fly somewhere to meet him?
Yeah.
She goes, yeah. I go, where is he from? How long do you know him? Is he willing to pay for it? She goes, he just asked me to help pay the ticket, and you know I'm poor, LOL. I go, where is he from? I go, who isn't poor these days, LOL? I go, even me, who was once very rich, is now poor. So it goes, LOL. She goes, I think he lives in Guyana. I go, how can you not be sure if he asks you to fly there?
You're not sure where you're going.
I go, does he know you as the person I saw on the vid chat or as somebody else? She goes, he knows me as me. Real and nothing fake. I go, good. Good. Real you is way better than fake you. I go, so you met him on Facebook? She goes, yeah. I just told him, rather come visit me. I go, so do you want me to check this guy out? She goes, he is real. I want him to come visit me. I go, everybody is real till they're not.
I'm a real boy.
I go, that is fine. So you do not want me to check it out? She goes, I do not want to upset him. He might think I have doubts about him. He would never know. I won't talk to him. I've done a lot of research in the past few months. Sometimes I can spot phonies just by looking at their online profiles. After all the lies and heartbreak, I had to educate myself.
Nice.
Now I educate others and help bring down those who would hurt people. I would just take a quick look and tell you my thoughts. I would never talk to him unless you asked me to.
This is bizarre.
You like this?
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah. Very interesting.
Okay. She tells me his name, Adrian Green. I go, can you send me a link to his profile? Profile. I go, oh, never mind. Found him. So she does send me the link. I go, I'm not going to tell you why I say this, because to be honest, we do not know each other that way. But because you are a girl who I've spoken with, and because you and I are building a friendship, in my honest opinion, you should run. This is an online predator. How did you meet?
Wow.
That's what I got from looking at that profile.
Well, do tell.
Foreign guy, ethnic looking, all chicks. You know, typical scammery looking profile.
Okay. Just because they're all girls, I mean, it doesn't seem like a real profile at all.
It doesn't seem like a real profile.
Okay.
Seems like what a scammer would do.
Okay.
When they would collect
a bunch of... Now, this is somebody she's interested in?
Are you all right with this, Joe? Do you want me to call the professor back?
He's seething.
Joe is not pleased at
he's
all.
He's green.
It's just it's like spy versus spy.
Look,
so he's trying to scam the scammer.
Look, he's breaking out of his shirt. Hulk smash. Yeah. I think he's jealous.
I'm fascinated.
I know. I'm teasing.
Somebody's trying to scam the scammer.
I know. Well, wait.
This happens all the time.
The scam.
I think we've built a cottage industry on that very thing, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do.
That's why we're here, Joe.
Thank you, Joe, for clarifying.
Thank you.
I forgot.
I go, how'd you meet? She goes, we just met on Facebook. He asked me the price for the hotel. How much does it cost? I've never been to a hotel.
Been to a hotel?
What?
I go, did you seek him out or did he find you? She goes, don't know exactly. It is a long time. I go, you've been talking to him for a long time? She goes, not very long. Davin, how much is the hotel you went to? Now remember, I stayed at a hotel when I was in Ghana.
Ghana. Mm-hmm.
I go, how did you become Facebook friends? I go, how do you know about my hotels and where I went?
Yeah.
She goes, haven't you met Belinda already? I go, you tell me. I go, you seem to know about my travels. Have I met Belinda? She goes, when she was Agnes, she told you guys are going to meet. I go, how do you know what she told me?
Yeah.
This
is getting bizarre.
This is getting a little odd.
Well, Joe, I mean, it's possible that they haven't been completely honest about their relationship.
Or they're the same, or they're the same person.
But remember, though, when I was talking about going to Ghana, no, it's not the same person, because I've seen them both. It's not the same person. Get that out of your head.
Okay.
The only way it could be the same person, because remember, I did get sold. If she was the original one.
All right, so if you go, it's not the same person.
Not now.
All right. But they did say to you several months ago that they weren't close, didn't they?
No, they said they were close. They were best friends from England.
They were close?
They were very good friends from Birmingham.
But as we progressed, wasn't there a segment in there that said they weren't?
Yes, recently.
Yes.
then if they're not that close, how do they know so much information?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you saying they might be lying?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I've never, Joseph. This is your ex-girlfriend and my current girlfriend you're talking about.
I understand.
Take it. I challenge you to a duel.
Oh, believe me. I've been listening to the poetry and everything the past 3 weeks. I have an attachment to this. But for the simple reason, they know so much information right now, but they're not really that close. That's a red flag right there, isn't it?
They were best buddies, and then all of a sudden she backpedaled, Mavis. I mean,
backpedaled.
I was like, no, I don't know her that well.
Yeah, not so much. But you know enough information right there where they got all this information.
Yeah, but got it wrong. Knows that he went to Ghana and stayed in a hotel, but thinks that they met. Now, how come? You know, oh, okay, so you know some information, you're getting some of it wrong. This is keep going. This is getting. It's curiouser and curiouser.
She goes, Agnes told me that you guys are going to meet. That was a long time. I go, seems like you guys were pretty close. Because remember, they said
yeah.
They were. She goes, guess we were getting to be close. I go, do you speak with her now? She goes, no. I sent her a request, but she never accepted. Now, Belinda told me that. Belinda told me that she accepted a friend request. And she asked me, should I accept it? And I said, no.
Oh, okay.
We cover that. I go, okay, well, how could I meet somebody who does not exist? Because I was going to meet Agnes.
Right.
Who is Julie Love.
Right.
Well, the picture of Julie Love.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I was actually talking to a Ghanaian girl.
Right.
I thought I was talking to a scammer in Florida.
Christ.
And Christ, now everybody say, this one we talked to today thinks I'm a DJ in London. Julie thinks I'm a DJ in Miami. God damn it. Nobody knows where I am.
Maybe she'll be a DJ.
Maybe my PR girl's working on that.
Bull worms.
They have been studying black holes recently.
Yeah.
I go, okay, well, how
Stephen Hawking.
So I go, how could I meet somebody who does not exist? She goes, LOL, those days are over. So put it behind you. Always put it behind you. I go, they are not over. The past creeps into the present when the past is never reconciled. That is not your problem, though, so no need for you to worry about it.
Mm.
She goes, okay, but I like Belinda, because to me, she's a good woman. I go, I love Belinda. Still, I have been patient with her and waited. She wants us to marry. She knows it is possible, but it is also possible we will split ways. I cherish honesty above all else.
Mm.
By the way, today's the day I was supposed to be talking to Belinda on video chat.
Oh.
To remember, because when we last left, I was going to be talking to Belinda on the video.
Oh, right, right.
So instead, I'm talking to Mavis.
Mm.
Two-timer.
Mm. She goes, that's nice. I go, what is nice? That you love her, she says. I go, it might be nice. It might be the biggest mistake of my life.
Ooh.
Time will tell. She goes, you don't have to wish that. I go, I don't wish that. Sometimes people misunderstand my patience and loyalty for stupidity. She goes, oh. I go, I know a lot of things I do not share. I have told you as much. I have told Belinda as much. She goes, that's nice.
No, it's not.
I go, it is. Sometimes I think I'd be better off being a Mugu.
That's nice.
Then I see a story about another corpse, another victim, and I'm thankful that I know what I know.
Ooh.
She goes, Davin, since we are friends, can I tell you something?
What?
I go, you could tell me anything. She goes, do you know why you get heartbroken? I guess it's my time to get on the couch, Joe. Scooch over. I guess I should have told her my song for me and Belinda. You know, I actually had a song with Flory, too.
Oh, God.
It was a breakup song, too. Yeah.
See, there's some psychology behind that, too, isn't there?
Yeah.
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 The Girl I Used to Know by Gautier. That way when me and Flory were always breaking up, I sent her that. I go, this is like our song. Remember that?
No.
Remember
that? Oh, my God. You with the breakup songs and girls.
It doesn't work out well for me, except for Miss Forever upstairs.
No, but maybe you're sort of like, I mean, you're setting
you picked a
up
better song.
Yeah,
more positive. You picked a song with more positive message.
You're right. Yeah. Maybe I'm telegraphing myself.
You are.
Mm, and I'm using outdated technology, too. A telegraph job.
Gotcha.
Okay. So she goes, you like that one?
Yes.
She goes, I have a collection of them in the back. She goes, do you know why you get heartbroken? You always want someone to tell you what you want to hear. That's the problem you have. You always want a person to say yes to what you say.
Oh.
I go, no, Mavis, you're incorrect. What you do not understand is I know things others wish I do not know. Mm. I never assume. I fact checked. I verify. when you have lived the life I have and gotten to be close with the types of people I have on both sides of the law, you get privy to things.
Ooh.
I'm kind of like Kevin.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, a taste of your own medicine doesn't feel so good, does it, fake David?
She goes, I assume you were talking about our history. I go, so do you want my opinion on Adrian, or do you want me to say what you wish to hear? She goes, yes, I would love to hear it. The guy has predator written all over him. That is my instinct. That is my expertise. You do as you wish. She goes, okay. I go, you still think I'm not a good person, don't you? She goes, a little. I go, so why do you talk to me? Why do you ask my opinion?
Yeah.
She goes, because I feel there is a good person in you. All of a sudden, I'm Darth Vader. I go, so what have I done to you to think I'm not a good person? She goes, Davin, I'm sorry. I got to go. Let's talk later. Okay. I go, okay, what kind of an awkward place to leave things?
Yeah.
My time is up in the cafe. See ya. I go, okay, see ya. I would still love to know how you think I wronged you. And we'll leave it there.
And she said, bye.
Well, there's more.
Oh.
But we'll leave it there.
Hmm.
I think that, you want me to go on? I mean, I can go on a little bit more. It's getting late.
Yeah, it's getting late.
No, leave it there, and then we'll find out what she thinks you did to her next time.
You like?
My stories.
You like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Found some good stuff tonight, right?
Yeah.
I find it funny that she's analyzing you on a show that we were doing psychoanalysts.
I know.
We'll have one of our, we even had the scammers check in to see what the deal is.
I know. It's like, okay, so now you know Davin's a comedian. So now what do you think his hurt is? Well, fake Davin, I think that you want people to tell you what you want to hear. Yeah. You're not listening to what they're really saying.
He gets psychoanalyzed.
Interesting. And how come you keep sending us breakup songs? Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. You know, I just can never make it work with these scammers.
You know, all I can say is you guys look so cute on the couch together.
Me and Joe? He's spooning me right now.
I know.
It's been an interesting, it's taken a little interesting turn with her.
Yeah.
We're friends, but I always want to hear what I want to hear, but she's hearkening back to the past.
You know,
and
she's
going to
tell you something that says that, you know, how you wronged her. I mean, like, yeah, you have been pretty harsh with her, so I can only imagine what she's going to come back with, but very interesting.
Should we thank some people?
Yeah, we should.
This has been fun.
Yeah, it has been fun.
It's been a good show. Like to thank our longtime sponsor, probably our longest sponsor, Success Martial Arts.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And after dealing with Kevin, I probably should take up some more classes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I might need them when we meet in London.
What is some judo against the voodoo.
I do judo.
Judo
instead of
the judo.
Instead of judo, I do judo.
Judo. That's what the judo is, judo.
Judo, judo against juju.
Success Martial Arts. Great for learning karate and self-defense. Perfect together as a family or by yourself. Whether you want to learn in a class environment or you want private lessons, Success Martial Arts is the dojo for you. Give them a call to learn more at 845-469-1716. 845-469-1716, or check them out at smacenters.com. If you're in the mood for great Italian food, then you need to go to Francesco's in Woodland Park, New Jersey. I'm going to be there this Friday. You should hang with me. Chef owner Frank Giancarelli cooks authentic Italian cuisine made with the freshest ingredients and panache. They'll make Francesco's your place to go with friends and family. The restaurant has a Mediterranean decor done in a non-pretentious way. It feels cozy and intimate, yet it's still elegant. Francesco's even has a private party room where you can host family get-togethers and corporate functions. Francesco's features off-site catering as well. Stop by Francesco's for lunch or dinner at 568 McBride Avenue in Woodland Park, New Jersey, or give them a call at 973-925-1100. You can, of course, go to their website, francescos-restaurant.com. And this Friday, we have another great comedy show at Francesco's. Food's great. Comics are great. You got Paul Bond headlining. It's going to be a great show. You just want to make your reservations for that. You definitely want to check that out Friday night, the 31st of January. I'll be there. I'm not performing, but I'll be there. You can hang out with me. Have a good time. We'll chat. We'll talk about all my scammer friends. Goldberg's Famous Bagels and Kosher Style Deli of Chester, New York brings the fresh, delicious water bagel of New York City to Orange County, New York. Every morning, a wide variety of bagels are made fresh on premises for your enjoyment. If you ever had a Goldberg's bagel, then you know you can never have a frozen bagel again. Goldberg's has the perfect schmear for your bagel, as they feature an extensive variety of cream cheese spreads and even offer low-fat choices. See, if I was in London, I wouldn't be able to enjoy this.
No.
Goldberg's Famous Bagels and Kosher Style Deli offers premium meats for their mouth-watering sandwiches. They offer some unique deli specials like the Zombie, which is a potato pancake covered in fresh brisket and smothered in homemade gravy, or the New Yorker, which is what I got, which was like the pastrami on the garlic roll with the onions and the mustard.
Nice.
Goldberg's famous bagels and kosher style deli is great for when you want to eat in or eat out, or you know, you want to have a party catered. They deliver. They deliver every time. They are open at 5 a.m. Monday through Friday and 6 a.m. on the weekends. Visit them at 69 Brookside Avenue in Chester, New York, or give them a call at 845-469-8505, 845-469-8505. And this is the coolest thing. If you're a vet or you're a fan of this show, you mentioned that, 10% off. Doesn't
nice.
Get better than that. Surf Easy, they're back.
Awesome.
Sponsoring the Scam Buster segment. How cool is that?
And you need it more than ever.
I certainly do. I certainly do. Surf Easy's VPN for your iPhone. Lisa was right. I should have had that going on.
Yeah.
Android or computer is the easiest way to protect your online privacy and identity. You know, if I was using that like I should have been, I could be much more brazen.
Yes.
Surf
Easy. Oh, God help us.
Surf Easy wraps all of your data in a bank-grade encryption, preventing hackers, snoops, and even your ISP from spying on your online activities. Use it to secure public Wi-Fi hotspots or anytime you want to remain private. Surf Easy also hides your location. This is what I need. IP address, so he couldn't track me, and other trackable information from your websites you visit. Take back control of your own online privacy today with a free account from Surf Easy. Free. Mm-hmm. Sign up at surfeasy.com or download it from your favorite app store. Here's the coolest thing. Fans are writing to us and telling me that they bought it and they love it.
Yeah.
So that makes me happy.
Yeah. Right.
My company, Sidesputting Productions. You need comics. You need a DJ. You need an impersonator. Go to sidesputtingproductions.com, sidesputtingproductions.com, or call me up at 551-404-3094, 551-404-3094. Pip, where can people hear this lovely show?
They can normally hear us live on Tuesdays on hawkradio.net, WKAD Radio, Wicked, Clutch and Wiggle, cyannetradio.com, talksuperstation.com, The Juggernaut, MacDaddyRadio.com, iHeartRadio, and TheIndieAuthority.com. And Davin's Den's available for download on DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, PodAlmighty.com,
PodAlmighty,
Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, and iHeartRadio. Ciao.
Unique and different by incorporating her guests' past and present experiences, The Carrie Edelman Show interviews, explores, and delves into the lives of some of the most fascinating and interesting musicians, comedians, writers in the entertainment industry today. Check out her show live Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To listen live or to check out past shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/Carrie Edelman. Ah, the Watson and Watson Show was born from a labor of love, or should we say constant disagreement. Judy and Johnny Watson, a.k.a. mother and son, are constantly battling each other on different issues of life, from politics to sports to proper parenting, or in Italian family terms, discussion passionately about it. If you like a radio show that is entertaining, funny, passionate, and you can have basically the whole family enjoy it, tune on in. You won't be disappointed. If anything, after listening to these two, you'll realize your family isn't that bad after all. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WatsonandWatson.com.
Lisa in the chat wants to know if you liked Windsor, Davin.
It was cold. I was there on Friday night. I was there the whole weekend, but it was very cold. Yeah, Windsor's lovely. You know, I didn't really see too much of it. I saw an Arby's. I saw...
She's a proud Canuck. Talking up.
I've been there. I've been to Canada before.
Yeah.
You know, it snowed every day and it was freezing cold.
Oh, yeah.
But I always love going to
so
Canada.
So much different than here.
I'll say this, though. The women of Canada, very, very attractive.
Really?
Like there was a group of nurses that came up to me after a second show on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And you know how, like, you have the you think that nurses are going to be really hot, but then you go into the hospital and they're not?
Yeah.
These were really hot nurses. I'm like, this is what porn's made about. Now I get it. Now it makes sense. Because when I go to the hospital in the United States, I don't know why a doctor would bang her. He could do better.
There's just something about a woman in hospital garb.
Yeah, it's like because she's already there after the damage you've done.
Yeah.
Look at that blood. I caused that. Yeah, no. The women of Canada, very, very attractive.
Oh, well, that's...
Except for the ones that aren't, but most of them are. Yeah. I mean, like, I think guys are, I think it's like the South, too, in the South of the United States.
Yeah.
Where if you're, like, a mediocre guy, mm-hmm. the women are disproportionately hot, so you can aim better.
Oh, mm-hmm. see. Really?
Yeah, I think if you want to get, like, shoot above your pay grade.
Yeah.
As far as poontang is concerned, there's certain regions where that's more obtainable.
you go.
I think it's a regional Poontang thing. Like, you live by where we live. You got hot people left and right. It sucks. It really sucks.
Well, it's like the same thing for, you know, Alaska for women. You could be a not-so-great-looking woman. You're going to bet you're going to, you know, snag a man because the ratio.
You know what? Never seen a hot Alaskan.
No. How many Alaskans have you seen?
I've seen them on TV. They have shows. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're cute, but I've never seen a hot one.
Ones fly out.
What?
The pretty ones fly out.
No, no, because I think they got to do like what the seals do and the whales do. They got to put on that extra layer to keep warm. Mm. You know, like what I do.
It's survival gear.
Yeah. I'm not saying the guys up there are any prize either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do any of them either.
Well, that's kind of a relief.
Well, no, it's not. If I did, I'd be relieved. Well, in a physical speaking way, John. But, yeah, well, Windsor's a good time, good club, Comedy Quarry, Rockhead Pub, a good time, and hot chicks.
Yeah. What more can you ask for?
We can ask where Mr. Helix is going to be this week.
Nowhere.
Anyway,
no,
Joe,
nowhere.
Besides what we're doing?
That's it?
Oh, right. I'll tell you where we're going to be.
Yeah, please, let me get my pencil.
Joe and I, tomorrow night, which is why we're not doing this show on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Why we did it on Monday. Tuesday, Joe and I are going to bring our little Davin's Den comedy tour to Edgewater, New Jersey. So at Rebecca's. For tickets, you call 201-943-8808. 201-943-8808. That's going to be me, Joe, and Joe Eichler at Edgewater and Rebecca's. Thursday, live comedy in Newburgh, New York at the River Grill, starring our pal Johnny Watson of the Watson & Watson Show.
Nice.
So you want to check that out. Another great restaurant to eat and see a good comedy show. Friday, live comedy at our sponsor, Francesco's.
Yeah.
The hilarious Paul Bond from Comedy Central. John Ivorone, who's great. Mike Dillon's great. For tickets for that, you want to call 973-925-1100. 973-925-1100. In case I didn't give it up for River Grill, that number is 845-561-9444. And Saturday, I will be performing in Goshen, New York at the Harness Racing Museum. I guess they're going to make glue out of me. I don't know.
Do you have one?
Yeah, up here. Harness Racing's a big deal up
here. And they're doing a show there?
Yeah, because they have like a hall.
Oh, okay.
Get on your harness, on your horse, and come on up, Joe. It's going to be me and the rabbi. That's who I was talking to before the show.
Yeah, it was so funny. He was busting his balls really bad.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I was listening to that show where you were talking about like the Torah and, you know, putting it through the ceiling and everything. And you mentioned something about Jews and showers and the Holocaust. He's like,
the rabbi said this?
Yes. I go, wait a minute, Rabbi. Are you telling me Jews are not fans of Holocaust material?
This is what I walked into. He saw the phone.
And he goes, well, how am I going to pay? I go, well, there's going to be a guy. His name is Vito. You don't look him directly in the eyes. You walk by. He's going to have one hand in his pocket. The other hand's going to be curled up, and there's going to be a bag in it. You keep walking. You don't look. You drop the money right in the bag. You keep going, because I wouldn't want to see anything happen to you, Rabbi. This is what I'm doing before the show.
Planning to go to hell, I see.
Well.
What was the other thing? He asked him something about what kind of material he was doing.
He's like, don't make fun of me too much. I'm like, oh, well, I've been making fun of you for 6 months and everything. He's like,
this is what I say to the rabbi.
He's like, oh, don't make, he's like, you know, Jewish comedy, but you know, with the Holocaust and everything, Jews. I go, no. I go, no, I know what the Jews are offended. We'll make fun of the blacks. Stuff everybody can appreciate.
And he goes, you know,
Joe's draw is open.
He was asking him something about the material he does. He goes, I don't do Jewish material. I'm a Jew doing comedy. I don't do Jewish comedy. They're not going to go to the Catskills.
Pastor. Yeah, yeah. Pastor. Oh, we're going to have a good time. Think about like a bus full of little boys pulling up to the seminary. It's going to be a good time. Yeah, you like that one? Good. Show starts at 9.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You can't say stuff like that. He's a man of God.
He's basically doing Holocaust humor with the rabbi.
When
I walk in, I'm like,
I take an atrocity in Josh with a man of God.
And I didn't know who he was talking to. And then he says, blah, 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 rabbi. And I went,
asshole. He's the one who thought I would actually do that in front of them. And why am I the asshole? I was saying I wasn't. I was shocked to learn that they were not approved. What?
I think you're more horrible than me.
Nah. Nobody's trying to get away from me currently. I don't have to sleep with produce and canned goods. I'm doing better. I think we're equally despicable.
Okay.
I just use my evilness for good. Sometimes. Not with the rabbi, but.
Sometimes.
All right. Guys, I've had a good time.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yes, very good.
We'll do this again next Tuesday at our normal time.
Yeah.
We most certainly will.
We'll continue with my friend Kevin.
We'll certainly
resume with Mavis.
Yes.
And we'll see what Belinda may. a couple teases. Maybe we'll do Name That Orgasm.
Oh, that would be good.
Maybe we'll name the new, maybe we'll do the new game. If we get to it, we have some Nazi stuff we'd like to get to and share with you people.
We call the rabbi. We're going to have the rabbi call in.
Yeah. So, got lots of good stuff.
Play along. Play along.
Some fun stuff for you guys planned next week. Thank you guys for hanging out with us on this Monday night. We appreciate it. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.